United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Well, Hey, good morning, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. You don't know this song, Styx?
Yeah, I mean, I listened to Top 40 when I was young.
Just checking.
Yeah.
Do you know what today is?
I saw something, but it's anniversary or...
Yeah. I think this
They're
is
getting a divorce. They got a divorce.
I know, because the song couldn't keep the love together.
Well, no, they said it was for medical reasons.
Excuse me?
Yeah, that's...
You're dying as I'm leaving?
I think it was probably more for medical bill reasons.
Come on. That doesn't sound right. So, if I stay with you, it's going to kill you, but if I leave you, you'll be all right?
No, I think it's more like if I leave you, I get to take my half, and they can only take your half for all the medical bills.
No. I'm not gonna look
I mean,
that
I don't, you know, I don't know what the how much residuals they're making now. I mean, at one time, they had a variety show and everything. They were very, very popular.
I remember. I remember. They were great. But no.
But Muskrat Love, come on. How come we all fell over that song?
I'm not
that
sure.
That was pretty hokey.
I don't remember Muskrat Love.
Muskrat, you'll have to pull it up.
You're not going to sing it, huh?
No, you know me sing.
No, okay. You.
Me no sing.
I don't remember that one. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends. It's Dr. Danielle's on her way in. We've got a guest in the studio. You want to introduce her?
This is my niece, Allison.
Hello.
Pull her mic to Styx. You did not. What?
Yes, I did.
You didn't tell her. You didn't tell her how to talk
to
the mic.
You
got to
be really close to the mic,
Allison. Allison, tell us a little bit about you. I know that you're a reader. I watched her carry a book and put her nose in the crease.
Yeah, I read a lot. I go to Fairless High School, and this fall I'm going to be a sophomore.
And what do you want to do when you grow up, when you get out of school?
I want to be a nanotechnologist specializing in robotics.
A nanotechnologist. Is like the little tiny stuff, the micro of the micro of stuff?
Yeah, nano, the prefix means 1 billionth.
1 billionth, so I have to know my zeros.
She's going to make me a new heart, so I never die. That's her task in life.
I'm not, don't make me no new no heart. Just make me comfortable as I go.
Okay.
Because the world's becoming crappy, and I got to go.
She's also a tractor puller.
Huh?
Yeah, tell them about your tractor, Alex.
She doesn't, wait a minute. She doesn't pull a tractor. The tractor pulls her. She rides on the tractor while the tractor pulls. She's not a tractor puller.
I have this 1965 Cub Cadet that I go garden tractor pulling with. In tractor pulls, you hook your tractor up to a sled, and you move the sled as far as you can.
Turn your mic up. So you actually, are you at the Columbia Fair this year, are you going to tractor pull?
Maybe. I also have a 1948 Farmall H that I'm fixing up to go antique tractor pulling.
A 1940, you talk like this, you sound like the guys when they start talking about, I got a 1964 Mustang, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to hook it up to a sled, and I'm going to, you're, what? You got a tractor supply shirt on.
She's just a typical country girl.
So can I, you guys going to teach me how to tractor pull? Because I actually went to see a tractor pull. It was kind of cool. I stood there for the longest and, tripped. I really did. I was like, are you kidding me? Is this for real? And it's pretty exciting because you pull it and then you let it go, don't you, or something, and you want to see how far you can pull it or something on that order. How does that work? I mean, what's the objective? Because, they have tractor pulls, and it becomes an exciting sport.
You have to get your tractor up to weight, and it has to fall within certain specifications.
Okay.
For instance, stock or mod rod. We pull with Ohio Mod Rods, and they have mod rod classes, which is you build your own tractor pretty much.
Are you building tractors?
No, I simply fix them.
Why are you looking at me like that? You seem to think this is some kind of strange activity.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it is.
This is what happens once you cross that line between Youngstown and the rest of the county and the rest of the state.
No. I go down to Columbia. That's why I got a day pass. Because, you know, y'all don't even have streetlights at night.
No, or sidewalks.
Right, yes, that's true.
Hey, let me ask you this.
What?
Poland High School?
Mm-hmm.
They're spending $500,000. Did I see that this morning? They're spending $500,000 on sidewalks because they haven't had sidewalks in 40 years.
Mm-hmm. I saw Columbia County, a village district, had open enrollment.
Mm-hmm.
So I can come down there and put my kid in.
Yes, you can.
That's what I saw that
this
morning.
Put your kid in West Branch.
Yeah, but you got to drive there.
Yeah, well.
In the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if I can catapult my kid there.
Big slingshots.
Yeah, pretty much.
Big slingshots.
Pretty much. So with nanotechnology, can we, like, beam them up, Scotty?
No, that'd be teleporting. And they're actually doing work on that right now. They've managed to teleport photons, little bits of light.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't checked that out. So is nanotechnology the way to go for investing, would you say?
I think so, since you can use it on making smaller silicon chips for computers, better nanoprocessors.
Okay.
And it also goes into medical fields. For instance, if you broke your arm, it takes up to 6 weeks for that to heal.
Mm-hmm.
So you could make a compound, sort of a cement, and then you could have robots go in and cement your arm together so you only have to wear a cast for 2 weeks. So you're out of work for less time, and it would be biodegradable.
So the bionic man is really coming to a city near you.
Maybe.
Because the reason why I said that, I was watching something last night on Facebook, and it was about a guy who was at a bonfire, and he caught his shoulder on fire, and they had this gun, and he said they sprayed this kind of silicon gel or something on him, because you can make a skin graft, but it takes months, but that's too long for someone who is a second or third degree burn. You need to take care of it right away. And you spray it on, and 2 weeks later he was healed. And his skin had already, you know, fused back together again. It was like, wow, that was really amazing. So you're a smart girl.
Yeah.
You get old age, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
What'd your dad tell you and your brother about the ACT or the SAT? What happens? What's the score and what's the prize?
If we get a 35 or higher on the ACT, the perfect score for an ACT is a 36, then he will buy us a car instead of having to pay for our college, since we pretty much get full ride to any college in the country.
Ask Dad, if I get a 35 on SAT, do I get a new car too?
I think he wouldn't agree to that.
What's up with that? Hey!
They don't do adoptions.
Why not? So I fit in. I'm potty trained and everything.
You going to show goats?
No.
These kids show goats and chickens.
No.
In fact, was it last year your brother got his grand champion?
I think that was back in 2011.
No.
Grand champion market goat at Stark County Fair two years ago.
I don't do goat. I do cow.
I like goats.
I do like. I like goat. I like goat meat, but you can't eat that goat.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
That's what
the
they
wrong
raise
kind
them
of goat.
For.
No, that's the wrong kind of goat.
No. We raise meat goats. So.
You have no wrong goat. Mm-mm. Don't want to see a goat. I can do horses. I can show horses. And I can show cows.
Okay.
I like horses and cows. I'm not doing chickens. Chickens stink.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. When you clean that pen, that sucker is bad.
Yeah, it's a lot of ammonia.
That thing is evil. No, I'm not showing chickens. You get your hands dirty. As a matter of fact, somebody was telling me the other day, they were talking about how you find out whether a cow or a horse is pregnant. Not cool.
Well, you just bump them in the side.
Not the way they were talking about
Well, no, the veterinarian, yeah, he got this big, long rubber
yeah,
glove.
Yeah, no, that's not cool.
Can you check and see how...
Hey, you don't check out,
yeah,
no.
Can you check and see how big that vein is that
why
goes
can't
into
they
the uterus.
Why can't they just take a blood test like everybody else?
Well, that would take more time and money.
Too bad. That's why they make blood tests.
I think it like... 3 months you can usually bump a calf, what we call bumping a calf, where you would put your fist in the cow's side and you can feel the calf inside of her.
No, you don't have to bump the calf, and you don't have to, all you got to do is take a blood test. You shoot the dog, they can make a pregnancy test for the animals. They can actually just pee on a cup.
Do you want to stand behind a cow when it's peeing? I've stood behind cows when they're peeing. It ain't no fun.
But do you want to take a glove and figure out where that glove goes? No.
Been there, done that.
No, you don't take a glove. It's better to watch them pee in a cup.
Well, you got to do the same thing when you breed them anyways.
Huh?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, yeah, they reach in there and they put that.
When you breed them.
When you have
don't they just breed on
artificial insemination?
Don't they just breed on their own? It's natural.
Artificial insemination.
Why do you have to artificially inseminate the animals?
It's my understanding they artificially inseminate horses because they're afraid that the stallion will hurt the mare during copulation.
Whoa! Wait a minute. And they've been doing this a long time, and all of a sudden they need man help.
Yeah, but they weren't worth $5 million before either.
So wait a minute. So now that they're worth money. They need man's help. But all the hey, Eric, you hear this? So all along, as long as...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm hearing it.
You've got dairy cows. You've got $1,000. You've got $1,000 of breeding on dairy cows now.
Listen to what I'm saying. They didn't need man's help. It's a natural thing. So why do they need man's help to have a calf? They don't.
They don't need man's help to have a calf, but they need man's help to...
Have a horse? They don't need man's help to have a horse.
To get inseminated.
No, they don't. They
well,
breed
kinda
on their own.
It's kind of hard to take a bull in California and breed it to a cow in Ohio. without, you know...
Why can't you just put them in the same pen?
Well, then you have to truck them across the country. This way you just put it in a little vial of...
Don't they go,
vial
they,
of
go, they go out on a date. They see if they like each other.
Oh, they don't get a choice. No, there's no choices.
There's no choices here?
No, there's no choices. We pick. Genetics in dairy cattle especially.
There is something wrong with man. Man thinks that he can just control everything. Good morning, 440. Your mic is on.
Yes, I can tell you for a fact that it's much easier, it's cheaper, and it's safer for the animal. And,
but
you know,
is it any fun?
Now, listen, it's all they do is they collect the semen, they put it in liquid nitrogen, and they can send it across the country. It's no big deal. This is done all
the
time. It's much easier. It's safer for the animal. The only ones that can't do that, by the association, is thoroughbred racing. They have to do the deed themselves. They cannot do it artificially.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that. Oh. I thought thoroughbreds, they,
no,
in my understanding.
They have to, the trotters and the pacers,
okay.
That can be artificially.
Okay.
That's why the stallions in that at, as far as, the thoroughbreds, they have to do the deed. That's or
so. Why do they? Wait a minute. Why do they have to do the deed, but the other ones have to have their deeds done?
It's politics. It's politics. That's all it is.
Yeah,
that's the way they've always done it, and that's the way they're going to keep doing it.
Concerned about
because I thought they brought the stallion in, collected the semen under a watchful eye, and then artificially inseminated the mare.
No.
Okay. I learned something.
Yeah. See that? Yeah, and there's a way they do it, too. They put them in a contraption. How can I put it? It's not a contraption.
Contraption?
But yeah, whatever, traction.
They, yeah.
they pretty much try to keep the mare safe. But
that is so sad.
But I see this every day. This is not no big deal. The guy that does the artificial insemination for dairy cattle, he just walks in, and he's done in about an hour. He'll do about 30 head, and he's done about an hour. Walks in, yeah, he's got a glove that goes all the way up to his shoulder and reaches around in there. It's all good.
Yeah, those guys actually make their living artificially inseminating cattle.
Are you?
Yeah.
If you
the
see
guy,
these
the guy
companies,
that I know makes, he makes around $60,000 a year.
Yeah,
yeah,
anything that
does.
You see that says it's got a logo on it, SS, Select Sires, or COBA, Central Ohio Breeders Association, those guys, that's what they're doing for a living.
That's just, I mean, hear me what I'm saying. I didn't know all that. Hey, Eric, did you know this?
It's faster. It's easier.
I had no idea.
How many
put them in a cow and said,
bowl?
You know, go for what you know.
How can a bull? How many cows can a bull breed in one day? Maybe two or three. All right. This guy's doing 30 head. He's doing 30. He's doing 30 cows in an hour.
And not only that, a single collection from a bull will get you 10 or 15 breedings.
Exactly.
So you don't want to waste it.
Right. When you're talking $1,000 a piece.
Hey, Larry, you hear this?
Hey, Tracy, I'm loving this. You know, your show has come from the city, and now we're talking about inseminating cows on Tracy and Friends. I'm loving it.
Yeah, because I gotta go find Sam because you got they this is wrong.
Jeff and I are brothers.
They're not copulating for enjoyment. They're truly copulating the bulls to procreate. But it's wild, Tracy. I told you about the farmers that I was dealing with up in Trumbull County there. They milk about 560 head of cow. These dairy farmers are three children. They're all in their mid to late 40s, and the father. And they leased their land to the BP, and they took that money, part of it anyway, and put in a robotic milking parlor. So these cows go in there; they don't have to milk them anymore. They just go in, get milked with the robot, and it goes on its way. But the other thing, Tracy, they did, they had, like when I first went up there, they had these ankle bracelets around each cow. And I thought that they was, had them on house arrest or something like that. The guy was explaining to me that, no, that's how the computer knows which cow's coming up. So they've got it so down to a science that he gets the printout every morning, the one son. And he knows which cows are in heat and ready to be bred. You know, before, you could visually inspect, but now he knows which ones, and he goes out and he does all the insemination himself. And that's how they make their money. So it's made them more productive and proficient in their operation. I mean, it's the days that he's, the dirt farmers or the dairy farmers, you didn't think they knew too much. These guys are high-tech, man.
I know, but, I mean, do you follow where I'm coming from when we say, okay, listen to this. They've taken all natural ability from the animal and put it into the hands of man.
Yeah, and that bull's loving every bit of it.
No, hold on. No, he's not. And can you see,
yes,
do you see
is.
where
I've been here and I'm watching.
Do you see
where
beef and meat, the prices are going up? The prices are going up because man has interfered.
No, prices are going up because we're sending a third of our corn crop into ethanol.
Yes,
who's
that's
right
what
idea
it is.
That?
Your buddy.
Green lobby.
there's a bunch of factors on the reason you're seeing meat products go up. The only one that hasn't really gone up high is poultry. But for instance, we had a virus come through and wipe out a lot of, we had to slaughter a lot of pigs because of the virus.
Yeah.
So it's the old supply demand. There's not a lot of pigs out there, so the price goes up. As far as cattle, it's twofold, not just ethanol. You're seeing Russia and China buy up a lot of our extra grain. A lot of these farmers right here in Ohio, it's just, you know, they're producing it and they're putting it on and sending it over to China to feed their people because they don't have enough farmland over there to feed their people. So they're buying it from here, which drives the price up.
Yeah, so, and we had go ahead, Larry, sorry.
No, that's all right, my bad. Go ahead.
Yeah, and we had a drought. Don't forget, we had a drought in a large part of cattle country 2 years ago, and a lot of guys had to sell off their cattle because they just didn't have any feed for them.
I'll be right back. I'm going to take a break. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Thank you very much. Daryl and I would like to do a song for you right now that at one time, well, for the longest time...
There's challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229 or toll-free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Pretty pleasing. Muskrat Susie, Muskrat Place. To the jitterbug out in Muskrat Land, and they shimmy. Sam is so skinny. And they whirl and they twirl and they tangle, singing and jingling a jangle, floating like the hills above, looks like muskrat love. Nibbling on bacon, chewing on cheese, Sam said to Susan, and would you please be my missus? Susan says yes with her kisses. Now he's tickling her fancy, rubbing her toes, muzzle to muzzle. Now anything goes as they wriggle.
Okay, I'm back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. I asked Stick. Stick says, you know, Muskrat Love. So he says, you got to play it. So I go and find it. And I don't know what I was thinking. Because I remember the song now.
It was, I'm telling you.
And I asked Stick. I said, well, I don't really remember paying attention. What was she talking about? Muskrats?
I've got to be. I mean, you know, you're talking about a two-hit wonder band. I don't know how they got a variety show other than their personality. But then again, look at Sonny and Cher.
Well, Sonny and Cher was different. Cher is still performing to this day.
Yeah, but Sonny and Cher were more of a comedy act than a singing act, I guess.
Back in the
70s, we had tons of these variety shows wrapped around.
I mean, you had the Carpenters. I mean, we only
the Osmonds.
Much, yeah, but the Osmonds were a little bit different because the Osmonds were a.
Jackson Five had one.
But they were. I mean, you had those were entertainers. People fell in love with them overwhelmingly.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, Captain and Tennille, they only had two hits, Muskrat Love and Love.
I can't,
no, they had more.
I can't think of any more.
No.
I mean, they weren't.
Guy from TV / Stick. That's commercial.
What's up with YouTube? Everything I turn on's got a commercial.
Have you talked about dineros, money? It's all green.
No, I guess somebody's got to keep the servers
running. Absolutely. The number is 347-945-5229. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. Dr. Danielle's in the studio. How you doing, lady?
I am good. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I heard you opened up a new location in Boardman.
I did not open a new location. I am now practicing at Muscler Chiropractic on Tuesdays.
Pull your mic to you because you're not in turn her up, please.
I'm down. Yeah. So I've just partnered with another chiropractor out here in Boardman.
Okay.
So on Tuesdays, I'm at that location in the Southbridge Plaza, and then the rest of the week, I'm still out in Warren.
Okay. And so what's new?
Oh, we got some fun stuff.
I've
been working for about 2 years now on a plan for an inpatient holistic hospital, place where people can come in and spend a couple of weeks. And we would provide room and board, meals, education, workshops, classes to get them through the first couple of weeks of holistic healing. That seems to be the hardest when people need the most support.
Okay.
And we found a location out in Southington.
Okay.
And 2 weeks ago, yeah, that's right. Lots of cheers for that. About 2 weeks ago, we had someone approach us. About discussing the option of investing, potentially purchasing the property that we're looking at for us and renovating it and then either leasing or selling it to us on a land contract. We're hoping to be open. We're not hoping. Our goal is to be open by June 1st of 2015.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
That'll be great.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And so it'll be a retreat area?
It'll have a retreat feel. That's what we wanted. You know, being holistic in nature, we wanted something that not only worked as a hospital, per se, for healing diseases, but also attended to the spirit and the mind. So something relaxing. And there's about 60 acres on this particular property that we're looking at. And it's ideal for us to have, you know, areas for meditation and prayer and just kind of getting away from it all.
Okay. And will you rent it out, or will it be a, you know, in service? Are there holistic spas anywhere close by? Because the reason why I ask is because I'd like to find a health and wellness spa area, and I haven't been able to find one.
There are lots of spas. While we're going for a spa feel, it's not going to be a spa. It will be a medical facility, if you will.
I'm not looking for institution. Not yet. I'm working on it. If I keep it up, I may have need one, but I'm not looking for institution. I'm looking for someone where you can go and get spa treatments, where you can go and get nutrition. You have hiking and wellness. But that's not in California. That you got to fly all the way across country.
Right. What we're actually putting together is something that really is all about healing. I'm focusing on chronic degenerative diseases, so things like diabetes, heart disease, fibromyalgia, food allergies, things like that.
You're talking about working.
I am talking about working.
You're talking about working. I'm talking about going for fun.
We want to provide a fun environment. You know, I don't really need an excuse to throw a party. You know, oh, it's Tuesday, let's have one. But I wanted a place where the support was there. A lot of the reasons, the number one reason I hear for people who don't continue with care on an outpatient basis with me is that they just don't have the support at home.
Well, it's difficult. It's kind of hard for you to try to give up food, and food is always being around you, and nobody else is giving it up. That's difficult.
Right, and even with the program that I have, where you're not really giving up food, we're just replacing it with better foods and more of it, it's still difficult because you have the people around you who are not learning the same things that you're learning on the program, and it's difficult if you don't have that support there, that's someone to really kind of hold your hand when you hit that wall during the first couple of weeks and all you want to do is have a steak. And the body's just not ready for that yet. We're still in the early healing phases.
Okay.
So this would be a place where not only could people come in and we kind of do all the legwork for them, so that the meals are prepared and it's still done on an individual basis for that patient's need, but also we're providing them with the education in house.
Okay.
And a place to stay, so they can kind of relax. It's a mini vacation, if you will, to begin the healing process and learn the skills they need to take out into the real world and be able to do this on their own, much easier than can be done on an outpatient basis. And we've seen a need for this more so with, let's say, the diabetes patients or any of our chronic degenerative. Some of my cancer patients would have done very well. I had a young lady who was referred to me with liver cirrhosis and stage 4 liver cirrhosis, which is it's difficult enough to deal with, but on an outpatient basis, holistically, it's very difficult.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of fluid. That's a lot of deterioration of the liver. I mean, that's a lot.
Right. And there, we can work with that, but really she needed constant care. So an inpatient facility would have been ideal for her.
I have a question for you. I am working out. I am eating better. I'm not losing weight. Why?
Are you losing inches?
Absolutely.
That's why. You're putting on muscle mass, which muscle is denser than fat. So if you are losing inches, but you are not losing weight.
I'm losing inches. I'm forming. I'm shaping.
Right. But the muscle weighs more than the fat. It simply takes up less space.
So when do I get to lose weight?
You may not. You shouldn't be looking at the scale. And I'm kind of speaking to the choir here because I had the same conversation with my trainer over the weekend. Where, I'm down 6.5 inches. Why am I up 3 pounds? Well, you're putting on muscle mass. Which I know the answer to that, but we still look at the scale and go, but why? And the reality is that when you're putting on muscle mass, you're leaning up. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to weigh less. I would focus more on how you feel in your clothes and what you see in the mirror. If you like the physical changes that you're seeing, then don't worry about the scale.
I'm doing great as far as you know, he didn't, you know, feeling good, losing, you know, losing interest. Just know I get on the scale and it's like, what are you, why are you here?
Yeah, don't worry about the scale. Stay off the scale. Just pay attention to the inches. Pay attention to the body composition.
That is so disheartening. I mean, it's very, I mean, it's like you could go, I went to stop at the, I stopped at Giant Eagle last night and started to get me a pack of Oreos just for the heck of it in protest. I'm serious.
I think we put far too much emphasis on what that scale says. It's, you know, are you healthy? Are you, you know, is the body composition what, where you want to be? You know, and if that's the direction that you're going in, then the scale doesn't matter.
I mean, I want to get down, but I need to shed some pounds. I mean, it's just that BMI is just not working in my behalf.
Again, those markers for being healthy are skewed. All right?
I'm listening.
I'm just trying to think of how to say this. We put so much emphasis on these particular numbers, and they do not apply across the board to every individual. Not only that, but they're, you know, a lot of this was developed not necessarily by physicians who were looking for optimal health, but they were looking for risk factors.
Okay.
And, you know, I see people who come into my practice and they're all shapes and sizes. And the level of health is just as deteriorated in those who are fit as those who are not. There's a difference between being fit and being healthy. And we spend so much money and so much time trying to be fit, thinking that that's going to make us healthy, and that's not the case. Often it does more damage than it does good because we starve ourselves. We don't feed ourselves in the right proportions. We eat too much protein. We eat too much packaged food. We're working out too much. We're stressing out our adrenals. We're not paying attention to the signals that the body gives us.
No, that's true. That's true. But I'm feeling, I mean, I feel great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more flexible. I do more cardio. I'm longer, last longer.
Mm-hmm.
I lift more. I get it done.
Right.
Scale says go away.
The scale doesn't matter. Because if your endurance is better, if your strength is better, if you are losing the inches, if you have more energy, if your mood is higher, then you're accomplishing what you need to accomplish.
I'm not killing people or nothing. It's kind of really nice. You know, people like being around me now.
Right. So that's more important than what that number says.
Okay. We'll take it from you. So we haven't seen you for months. So what else have we missed? What else is going on?
You know, really, I've just kind of been neck deep in all of the work that I'm doing for Phoenix Health.
Okay.
And of course, practicing. My practice has picked up, and that's great. I'm really thankful for that. It's a good problem to have when you have to cancel appointments because patients are waiting on you. You know, it's just been a nice,
that's
smooth
good.
Transition.
That's
yeah.
good. That's good.
Yeah. Picking up Boardman was great. You know,
okay.
being able to come out into this particular area, there's a different mindset of clientele in this
that's
area
true.
Than there is in Warren.
That's true.
And I spent 2 years building up my practice in Warren, and I'm pretty much filling up most days in Boardman now, and I've only been there since the beginning of May. Is that Wes?
Yes. Yes, Wes is special.
Yes.
Wes is my special friend.
He is.
But he's the best engineer, I think.
Wes keeps your butt out of a sling.
Actually, Wes not only keeps your butt out of the sling, Wes is the most knowledgeable person I know of when it comes to broadcast engineering. I don't think there's anyone else in the broadcast field that is as knowledgeable about spectrums and how things work than Wes. But don't tell him I said that because he'll get a big hit. Hey, listen, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. A 19-year-old Youngstown man was sentenced to 16 years to life in prison for his part in a murder of a man selling a video game console. Investigators say Kyle Patrick was one of two men who fatally shot Michael Abighanum. Abighanum was selling the game in order to raise money so he can buy his son a birthday gift. The Youngstown City School District has something to celebrate. 75% of the students in the district passed the third grade guarantee, the reading portion of the Ohio Achievement Assessment. That's up 47% from the number of kids who passed it during the fall of last year. And in Boardman and Poland, police are seeing a rash of car break-ins lately. Poland Township Police have made arrests in their cases, but Boardman says they're still looking for suspects who broke into at least 8 cars in the parking lots of Boardman Park and the Davis Family YMCA. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
The Scrappers kick off their 2014 season with a 3-game homestand June 17th through the 19th. Highlighting the homestand is an opening night t-shirt giveaway and fireworks extravaganza, magnet schedule giveaway, military appreciation night, and the first buck night of the season. For more information, call 330-505-0000, friend them on Facebook, or visit mvscrappers.com. The 2014 season is presented by Subway of Niles. Scrappers Baseball, baseball with bite. It's the hard truth. In today's world, negative experiences quickly find a way to go online. One disgruntled customer, a bad employee, or broken personal relationship can easily post an ill-advised photo, tweet, rumor, story, bad review, and there it is right on page one when you search your name or business online. In the past, you had no way to fight back. Well, now you can. Grab a pen and take down this phone number or store it in your cell phone, but call 1-866-345-5673. That's 1-866-345-5673. When you call, you'll get free info. Free info that will show you how a reputation management company can easily build positive online content for you and legally bury negative information. This is not something you can do on your own. Don't lose any more business or miss out on another personal or business opportunity because of what is wrongfully being said about you online. Take control of your internet search results. Call 1-866-345-5673. That's 1-866-345-5673. Hurry, don't delay. Call 1-866-345-5673. 5673 now.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
Are you trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free, and your donation is tax deductible. Call 800-942-0697. 800-942-0697.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Hey, thanks, Alex, for the compliment. He told me I'm doing good. That's my Alex is my conscience. Let my conscience be my guy. Alex is my guy. Thanks, Alex. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. We have Dr. Danielle with us, and I have Diva on the line, and Diva called in yesterday. Who were we talking to yesterday? We were talking about weight loss. And we had InShape MD. We had some medical doctors on talking about weight loss. And she was saying, do you have anything for pain? Because she's allergic to opiates. Diva, you there? See what I'm saying? When I don't want her to talk, she goes a mile a minute. And when I want her to talk, she ignores me. I don't understand how this works. And so she was saying that she was in a lot of pain and she was allergic to opiates. I was asking you during the break that I wanted to bring that up because there are a lot of people who are in a lot of pain, and opiates are very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're hard on, I mean, they're hard on the whole system.
They are, especially the kidneys and the liver. They're very addictive. They have neurological effects that we haven't even begun to chart.
Then you take a product like Vicodin, and then you add acetaminophen. No, is it acetaminophen or ibuprofen? One or the other. Neither one of them is good for you. And you add something that's hard on your liver and kidneys to something that's hard on your liver and kidneys.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of typical of any pharmaceutical just because of the nature of the chemistry in it. Yeah, we talked a little bit during the break. There, arnica is a good homeopathic.
What's arnica?
Arnica is an herb, and homeopathics are extremely diluted herbs. Things like belladonna, which is considered poisonous, and a homeopathic remedy works wonders. Arnica would be for soreness, muscle tenderness, sprains, strains, things like that. That may be helpful for muscle pains. Things like white willow, which was the original aspirin.
Mm-hmm.
White willow?
White willow.
Willow bark, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hearing all kinds of, like, stuff I've never heard of. White willow,
mm-hmm.
something else. Those all help.
They can, yeah. I mean, what works specifically for a person is based on their constitution. It's very individualized. That's why we spend so much time with people finding out how their body's reacting to things, the different symptoms, different personality traits, because what's appropriate for one person may not be appropriate for a different person with the same symptoms. And that's because the same symptom may be caused by multiple causes as well. So, you know, in her case, I could spout off a couple of things that might help with the pain. Sitz baths, Epsom salts baths may be helpful. But the best thing really would be to seek out a holistic practitioner in her area. Organizations like the American Holistic Medical Association, the AHMA, or the American Drug List Practitioner, AADP, American Association of Drug List Practitioners. Their websites all have a search feature where you can look for practitioners in your area, and seeking out a holistic practitioner that can not only help with the pain, but maybe even help with what she's going.
What's causing the pain.
Right. Very much so. I know some of my patients, I have a couple of patients in a similar situation, and we're getting great results. I have one young lady who came to me and decided to forego any of the usual medical treatments, and we've been working together less than a year. It'll be a year in August, and the mass that she had when she came in is gone, and now we're working on getting her blood count back into functional ranges.
I know Paula's doing very, very well. Stix's wife.
Yeah.
She's doing very, very well with all of the conditions, her blood pressure,
mm-hmm.
Anything, the things that she had going on with her
yeah.
because of coming. Give us your phone number again.
330-505-3515.
And then you're here on Tuesdays in Boardman.
I am. I'm here in Boardman on Tuesdays, and I don't know the number for that office
Ooh.
By heart yet. I'm so bad. But I'm at Muscler Chiropractic, and we're in Southbridge.
Where's Southbridge?
Southbridge West.
Oh,
it's
okay.
the green sign.
The green sign.
The green
going down
sign.
422.
Yes.
Going down 224. You'll
yeah.
see it over to the...
Past the Dunkin' Donuts, get in the center lane.
Yeah. Yeah. Past the Dunkin' Donuts, get in the center lane, and
and
you'll see it right there.
Yeah. We're in suite C2.
Okay. Now, when it comes to homeopathic medicine
mm-hmm.
And changing your diet and changing your, you know, what you're doing and how you're doing it, this is new for a lot of people.
Right.
It really, really is. Really, and I was talking on yesterday, we were talking to some wellness doctors, and, you know, Dr. Mason was on last week. And just getting people shaped around, because of the Affordable Health Care Act, you have to change your paradigm, your method of thinking. You have to change your pedagogy. You have to change it. Because if you don't, it's going to lose. You're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Your quality of life is going to be diminished based upon bureaucracy.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. Yeah, I mean, we're seeing that even with chiropractic, which is still, you know, in spite of being around for as long as it has been and having, you know, proven efficacy in diminishing pain and, you know, especially back, you know, reducing back surgeries, knee surgeries, hip surgeries, we're still seeing the bureaucracy come in with that and you know, they're limiting care through chiropractic and eliminating certain modalities that chiropractors do that are helpful for patients. And we're seeing that a lot. And so people have to kind of shift how they're viewing healthcare from, oh, I can only have it if my insurance pays for it, to I need to decide what is going to work for me, what's going to get me results, and be willing to explore those options and be responsible for their own health as well as choosing their own health care.
You know, it's really funny. And we said this yesterday. Because we talk about health care a lot, and right now everybody wants access to it. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. You would think that insurance companies and enforcers would start making it to where if you are capable of going to someone that's a homeopath and or to a chiropractor or to a wellness physician, you would think that they would say, if you can find a solution that will help your problem, cost you less, and not cause you to go into the medical area, then you should do that. You would think that that's how, because that just seems like common sense to me.
Right. What people don't really understand is that the insurance companies, I guess the fact that's overlooked is that the insurance companies are a product company, and they provide products based on demand by the customer. And typically the customer is the human resources department at a company. So if, as individuals, we go to our human resources department and say, I want this kind of care covered under my policy, then the human resources manager goes to the insurance company and says, look, we have a demand among our employees for this type of coverage. What do you have? Get us a policy that does this.
You would think.
But we don't demand it. That's just it. As a general rule, the employee says, well, this is what my company offers.
And we say,
okay. And the human resource department doesn't have that feedback from the employees or enough feedback from the employees saying, I want this kind of coverage, in order for them to go to the insurance companies and ask for it. If we
WSOM, Sam Youngstown,
right,
Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Richard Davies. President Obama to meet with leaders of Congress this afternoon, considering a response to the fighting that threatens the government in Iraq. An extremist Islamist group is leading a Sunni takeover of towns and cities north of Baghdad. The Maliki government's being led by Shiites. Senate Majority Leader Democrat Harry Reid opposes U.S. involvement.
This is an Iraqi civil war, and it's time for the Iraqis to resolve it themselves.
No decisions made yet by the president on a possible U.S. response. Ahmed Abu Qatala being interrogated on a U.S. Navy ship in the Mediterranean. He's the alleged ringleader of the 2012 attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya. He was captured. Republican Mike McCaul chairs the House Homeland Security Committee.
It's positive news. We finally brought down the mastermind of Benghazi, the man who was responsible for killing our ambassador and three other Americans. But I think the question that most people are asking is, why did it take so long?
For the third time in 2 weeks, a suspected U.S. drone strike has targeted insurgents in northwestern Pakistan. Local officials say 4 people died today. More violent weather in northeast Nebraska for a second day in a row. Tornadoes ripped up land spawned by a powerful chain of thunderstorms. 2 people died this week in Pilger, much of the small town destroyed. Resident Marianne Wemhoff says she hid with her son and 2 kids in a closet.
I heard the glass breaking and the doors and things banging, and that's all I remember.
The cleanup has only just begun. From movers and shakers to makers, the White House is holding a Makers Day event today. The CEO of General Motors is back before Congress, facing more questions about how the company handled the recall of more than 2.5 million small cars because of a problem with ignition switches. This is ABC News.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-520-9330. That's 800-520-9330. Don't wait. Call 800-520-9330.
Big data may be just another overused buzzword, but storing, sharing, protecting, and recovering big data is a big deal to companies, big or small. Barracuda Networks offers powerful, affordable, yet easy-to-implement solutions for data protection and disaster recovery, email archiving, file sharing, and e-signing, all designed to protect big data and simplify IT. For an online demo or to try any of our storage solutions risk-free for 30 days, visit barracuda.com/bigdata.
Big announcement expected today by Amazon, which is likely to get into the smartphone business, already dominated by Apple and Google. This new smartphone from Amazon likely to include 3D imaging. The Federal Reserve issues its latest statement today on interest rates and the economy. There is some good news on prices. We're not paying a lot more for most goods, with the exception of food and gasoline. The bad news, though, is the essentials are more expensive.
We did see prices at the pump jump by quite a bit, and food prices.
Economist Diane Swank, who's been tracking recent price rises.
The problem is those price increases came on the heels of still very stagnant wage gains.
Meaning many people saw their living standards go down, not up, and rental costs have also been higher, rents rising faster than the general rate of inflation. I'm Richard Davies, ABC News.
And now, it's the News Talk 600 Drilling Down Report.
This is the Business Journal Daily Buzz Drilling Down Report for Wednesday, June 18th. Houston-based Hilcorp Energy is aggressively staking out its position in western Pennsylvania, securing more than a dozen new horizontal well permits last week for oil and gas exploration in the northern tier of the Utica Shale. The Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection issued 13 permits to Hilcorp for new horizontal wells in Lawrence County. Seven wells were permitted June 9th for Hilcorp's YEO site in Mahoning Township, while six others were secured the following day for wells at the Kester Farm in Pulaski Township. 2 weeks ago, the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection approved five new Hilcorp wells in Mercer County in Lackawanna Township. That makes 47 new well permits secured by Hilcorp in either Mercer or Lawrence counties since March 10th, the day a series of small earthquakes shuttered through eastern Mahoning County just across the state line in Ohio. The Ohio Department of Natural Resources has since linked the quakes to a well site in Poland Township, where Hilcorp was hydraulically fracturing a well. Hilcorp has ceased drilling operations at the Carbon Limestone pad in Poland and has applied for revisions on six of its well permits there. Constructing a cryogenic plant is a massive undertaking, requiring a wide variety of labor skills. Butch Taylor of Local 396 Plumbers and Pipe Fitters says the oil and gas industry has been a game changer for the union.
We're doing real well, you know, in the, over the years where we struggled to now, it's been amazing.
The influx of work began with the construction of Vallourec Star's new pipe mill in Youngstown and has since grown to include processing plants, metering pits, and work with Evis Oil and Gas.
As it stands today, we are roughly about 99% full employment.
Today, meeting the demand is the problem facing the unions. Many of the most skilled workers are preparing for retirement, so the building trades are actively looking to increase enrollment in their apprenticeship program. Today, Local 396 has just under 90 apprentices.
The beauty of the building trades is they offer these apprenticeship programs, so we can adapt those programs to the needs of the customers that are coming into our area.
Skills such as downhill welding and HVAC are in great demand, and Taylor says that demand will likely continue to increase in the coming years.
We're just getting started with some of the work that's coming into our area.
And that is the Business Journal Daily Buzz Drilling Down Report for this Wednesday. For more information, go to businessjournaldaily.com. I'm Michael Moliterno.
Safe Auto gets it. Life doesn't stop. That's why they're here 24/7 to help you keep going. Call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO if you ever need a friendly voice, online or through their mobile app. The right car insurance for the right price. Safe Auto. Call, click, and enjoy the road ahead.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, Ford Fusion helps you stay connected with available voice-activated sync technology. Get one now for only $1.99 a month. For details, visit driveoneohio.com.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-520-9330. That's 800-520-9330. Don't wait. Call 800-520-9330.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And
hello, this is Chad.
Here's Tracy Winbush.
Listen, baby, ain't no mountain high, ain't no valley low, ain't no river wide enough, baby.
If you need me, call me, no matter where you are, no matter how far.
Don't worry, baby,
call my name, I'll be there in a hurry. You don't have to worry,
oh baby, there ain't no mountain high enough.
Hey, good morning again. Welcome to Tracy and Friends. It's 9 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock here on WSOM AM 600. Pastor Danielle's in the studio with me, and I have Sticks here. Got a young lady in here, and tell us your name again and where you're from. She's hanging out with her uncle.
My name is Allison Waugh, and I'm from Navarre. It's over by Maslin, Beach City, Brewster, that area.
And you're in what grade?
I am going to be a sophomore at Fairless High School this year.
And I've got a gentleman by the name of Chad Aldi who's sitting in the wait in the queue waiting to come up, and he's going to talk about Common Core, which is really going to give us an education about what's happening with our education system. And I listened to Allison sitting over there, and her, you know, I've been able to observe her in her private settings, and she's very, very cerebral. She likes to think. She likes to read. She's very articulate. She knows what she wants. And I think your brother's the same way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Both of these. All three of the kids.
I only remember two. I only remember two.
Yeah. Yeah. The youngest one wants to be a lawyer. Mitchell wants to go to MIT.
And they're early on. I mean, they're talking about their SATs, the ACTs, and then we have something coming into the marketplace called Common Core. And I asked some people to send some information and to ask someone to come on. And I want to thank Chad Aldi. Did I pronounce your name right, Chad?
It's Aldis, but that was close enough. Aldis. Yeah.
A-L-D-I-S.
That's correct.
Chad Aldis, to come on and to talk to us about Common Core, because I hear a lot of chatter, and I see a lot of liberal organizations endorsing it. I see a lot of conservative companies coming around, and they are demonizing it. Can you explain a little bit, tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and then tell me, what is Common Core?
Sure.
Overall.
Yeah, of course. As you said, my name is Chad Aldis. I'm a vice president for Ohio Policy and Advocacy for the Thomas B. Fordham Institute. We have an office in Columbus, and we basically try to work on laws that will help improve Ohio's educational system. We've been founded on a couple of things that we think really can help our schools. And we've been doing, and those things are high standards with accountability so that we have good, strong goals and benchmarks, things we're trying to achieve with our educational system, and school choice, just believing every family should have access to a high-quality school. So that's sort of what drives a lot of our actions and activities. And as I said, with our emphasis on high standards, we've had that, by the way, since when we were founded, 1997. So when the Common Core came around, as it started being developed, we realized that this was a real opportunity to push Ohio's education system forward. So we've been advocating for that. We think that the more people know about it, the less sort of scary the change becomes. At its very basic level, Common Core is simply a set of standards for English language arts and math. Go ahead.
But what, I mean, give us the elementary definition. Because, we've got all these buzzwords. And, you know, I have no idea. I mean, I think standardization and everything being the same is a good idea. It sounds really good. So why are people against that?
Yeah, well, you know, and that's the thing. I think you're right. And catch me whenever I use one of those buzzwords, because it's a bad habit we sometimes develop. So thank you very much for that. But the first thing is standards. All they are goals. They're benchmarks. They're what we want our kids to know at every grade level. And Ohio has had standards since at least 2001. We've had them a long time that have been statewide, that every school district in the state follows. The move toward Common Core was we basically had a bunch of people at the national level study the standards from the best performing countries in the world and also from states that are doing really well with their educational systems and say, okay, what are their goals? What are they trying to achieve? And they put together what's called the Common Core of the things that our students need to know all the way from grade kindergarten through grade 12 in English, language, arts, and math. Yeah. So very simply, that's what it is. Why is there controversy? Well, there's part of the controversy came when President Obama decided he liked them as well. And as you know, in our politicized world, when the leader of either party says, I really like this, all of a sudden there's a big patch of the other side that all of a sudden is going to be opposed to it immediately. And that's frustrating because the standards are good.
So is Common Core a good thing or a bad thing?
You know, from my perspective, it's a very good thing. We've had low standards for a long time. We did a rating of all 50 states' standards, and Ohio's, our previous standards before Common Core, we got a C in both math and English language arts. And the best example of this is out of Ohio kids who go to an Ohio college or university, it's so that they're going to college. 40% of them need remedial education.
Problem is with Common Core, and if you say that it's a good thing, I need to slow this down because you still have not told me what is the difference between what I learned in school and what we're teaching in our children now in schools now with Common Core. What is the difference, and who are? What does this mean?
Right. I mean.
I need somebody to give me the element. I don't know the difference between 1 + 1 = 2, 2 + 2 = 4, and you know A E R O. You know.
Well.
And
yeah,
A B. I need to know. Help me out here. Where is Common Core coming in? That's making and changing. What is the big deal if we're not changing the common fundamental elements of 1 + 1?
Yeah. No. And we're not. This is very, very standardized in math, the same way we learned it, in terms of you learn your math facts, grades K through 3, you're learning your math facts, so you know them extensively.
Let me stop you right there.
Hold on.
Sure.
I'd like to stop you right there. Do they teach multiplication tables?
Yes, they do.
Then what are these oddball math problems I keep seeing on my Facebook and other places?
No, that's a great question. It's probably one of the biggest ones that's been going around a lot. So what the Common Core said is, and tell me if you've heard this before. I can do the math, but I don't understand it. I feel like I'm just writing down a description, and I don't really understand the why. How many times have people come up to you and said, you know, I understand the algorithm, but I don't really know how I did that. Well, Common Core says, first, we learn the math facts. First, we learn the multiplication tables. Then, the next step is make sure the kids understand what they're doing. They're not just learning a formula. Because in real life, it doesn't tell you you're on Chapter 7, so you're learning about this particular formula. In real life, you have to apply that yourself and figure out which one to use. And so when you see problems that helping kids understand how they got there, not just memorize an answer that will go away.
Help me, give me an example of how I would learn, or understand the 1+1 or a simple scenario.
Yeah.
Or a simple math problem.
First off, they teach you the 1+1, what that equals, you know, just as we've always learned it. But then secondly, what they would also do is they'd probably do something like we learned, and that is pull out a couple of apples and say, you have one apple. Here's another apple. How many apples do you have now? So that students have an understanding of what the numbers mean, that they're not just that you just don't memorize that, but you also understand what goes into it. And that's part of it. Now, as you get older in 4th, 5th, 6th grade, some of those things you have to describe, they get a little more complex because our reasoning gets more complex there. But these are patterned after the math standards that other countries have used. We haven't done always a good job of description. We just make kids memorize a bunch of formulas, at least before this. So the goal with the Common Core is to make them understand how they got that, help them think about it, not just, you know, memorize facts and regurgitate them on a test.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Diva.
Because I've always been, I've understood the reason behind Common Core. Coming from Youngstown City Schools, I had a couple of people I know who graduated valedictorian, got to college and had to take some remedial classes and were behind. My daughter, in case in point, went from Youngstown School to Bortman School. And they said, well, we're going to have to test her because Youngstown teaches a little bit different and they're a little behind. So I get Common Core. My thing is, what I've noticed on Facebook, does Common Core teach PEMDAS across the board? Because there are some math memes that came up on Facebook, and we have gotten into these huge debates on how to solve them. And I think that's a problem when you have multiple ways of solving a math problem and you have people coming up with different answers. I think that's a problem in our education system.
Yeah, so there certainly shouldn't be different answers. And it has, you know, Facebook has really changed the way a lot of things are discussed now. So you will see people coming up with problems and have be, you know, be debating answers and how to get there. When you actually look at the standards themselves, they really are just a guideline and goals. Unfortunately, what we've had is a lot of people getting frustrated and some people thinking they're losing local control, that the local schools aren't going to be in charge of setting the standards. So they'll come up with a bad example or a bad question, which, by the way, the questions are made by textbook companies. They're not always going to be Common Core aligned just because somebody puts a sticker on them saying they are. It's important that teachers help that work and develop their own curriculum to teach these goals and meet those goals. So then you don't get bad problems unless your teachers give you bad problems.
But let me ask you this, because what's going on with this is you have, I mean, because I was a part of the school board when standardized tests came in. And when I looked at standardized tests, I think it's okay. But changing the method of teaching and changing, teaching to the test was not a good idea. And so taking arts and taking music and taking critical thinking out of the classroom, I don't think was a good idea. Yet with the standardization and the way things are going and with the grade point, it politicized the classroom a whole lot more than it should have been. And Common Core has come in and done the same thing because I need to know that we understand that they need to have a unilateral standard of what you're learning. But I'm not quite sure why we haven't gone into mastery.
Uh-huh. No, I mean, I think this hopefully will get us closer to that because you need to learn the standards at each grade level because they build.
What I'm saying is mastery is not about grade level. Mastery is about achieving the accomplishment of that time. So if you are 6 years old and you walk in there, you're reading chapter books in the first grade, you automatically go to third grade reading. And if you don't know your ABCs, you'll go back to kindergarten reading, so that you're not putting children in the room with other children who do not have the same functionality when it comes to curricula and academia, that, so that they can advance. And what's happening is we keep on putting all of our children in the same box, thinking they learn the same way and that they're at the same level, and they're no longer there. Because that's the biggest problem we have. So you have a young lady, like Allison, and Allison is far above her grade level, I'm quite sure, just by her behavior. So you put her in a classroom with me, that's a bad, bad idea.
No, you know, and you're absolutely right. That
and Common
the ability
Core is going
to
put me in the classroom with him, with her.
Well, that's not necessarily true. My district has Common Core, and my daughter, who's a seventh grader, was a seventh grader last year, took eighth grade algebra, and she took honors English 9. Why? Because she'd already mastered the standards in her level. That's still a local school district decision when they want to move somebody up. Next year she'll be taking geometry.
So what is Common Core?
Common Core are the standards you need to know at a grade level. But if you know those standards, then that box is checked. That's why in some ways...
So how are those standards being taught?
How are the standards being taught? Yeah,
I guess I'm... Well, let me ask you this first. These math problems where we have middle schoolers coming home and they're being marked wrong with the right answer because, 7 plus 3 wasn't broken down into, well, move 2 from the 7 over to the 3 so you have 5 and 5 and now you get 10. Is that part of the standard core curriculum or the Common Core curriculum?
No. In terms of, You need to be able to describe how you got your answer. Now, I'm not saying whether why? Because in life you don't always.
If I count on my fingers, if I have 7 fingers and I add 3, I've got 10. I don't need to know that I got to move, 2 fingers. I've got 2 fingers on one hand, so that's 5. I don't need to know that. I need to know that if I've got 7 and I put 3 more in there, that's 10. I don't have to say, I got it. Why I got 10? Well, because there's 10 there. That's kind of common sense.
See,
so it's complicating the math.
Right.
Well, and these kids are being marked wrong for having the right answer because they didn't get to it the way that the teacher wanted them. If it's the right answer, it's the right answer.
Right, because I think different than other people. I do math in my head different than other people do. But what I see with this Common Core thing is if you don't do it the way that the box says you have to do it, if you don't think the way the box says you have to think, then you are inaccurate. You are wrong. And that's what bothers me. There was a test running around. It was an eighth grade graduation test from 1899 or something like that from Salinas, Kansas. Why not teach to that test? Why not teach those principles?
If you complete the Common Core standards, you'll be able to do that test. But right now our graduates can't because we've been going on.
That's an issue that we have with our education right now is that, what I was learning, and I graduated in 89, all right, what I was learning in school, the kids aren't learning now. They're coming out of school. They can't write in cursive. They can't problem solve. There's no critical thinking, and their math skills are horrid.
And we haven't been using the Common Core standards. We've been using Ohio had standards from 2001.
But I could do those things coming out of high school. I need to understand why the standards that were there when I was in high school are not good enough when we were able to do, we could do basic math. I did calculus. I did algebra. I did trigonometry. Not that we use any of that in real life, but I did it, and I did well.
If you're in the construction trade, you use a ton of trigs.
Because the reason why we're not
right, but I mean, really, for those intense math classes, if you're not going into a math intense field, you're not going to use
it. That's the thing that bothers me is we're shoving algebra down people's throats
in the second grade.
And
algebra makes sense because you need to know how to solve equations. I was one of those students that didn't understand if you didn't need it, why use it? But you don't know what you're going to need until you need it, and you want to be able to have.
You can do anything with arithmetic. You can do with algebra.
But what I'm saying is, you want to have a base knowledge of all types of math, so that you, if you need it, you can pull on it. Because once you learn the fundamentals of it, what I don't understand in it, and maybe you can help me out, Chad, is the Common Core.
no one's telling me that, you know, Dr. Danielle's telling me that if you have Common Core, you've got to explain it out, even if you have the right answer. That's where I think most of us are getting very, very fuzzy.
Right.
Wait,
and I can...
I'm sorry, go ahead,
Go ahead, Chad.
Okay, thank you. You still have to know how to do the problem. The explaining it out is, you know, it goes back to what one of your guests said, and that is we have so many kids right now who graduate and do well in high school, who pass the Ohio graduation test, who go to college, and then are taking math and paying for math classes as remedial education that they should have been able to do already. So, the problem is questions get harder than 7 plus 3. And that's the thing. And if we don't understand how we do it and how we think about it, it ends up causing big problems later. Our students have not, on average, our top students will still score well in math, and they're still going to continue to score well in math. But we have too many kids who are not ready, who do not have the skills necessary for either college or career. These standards are going to be a little bit harder, and that's okay, because our students will do it if we set high expectations, and they're more than capable. But we're getting into the weeds with this, I think, to the point where, I mean, why aren't we listening to our educators? Our educators, by and large, like Common Core. 60 to 70% of teachers are supportive of it. In Ohio, both teachers' unions, along with the Superintendents Association, the school board members, all support it.
Listen, most board members, school board members don't have a clue what the heck they're talking about. Teachers, they are overwhelmed. They just want to make something to where they can start teaching in classroom and take the politics out. And the unions have an agenda. And that's just real. The unions, and I'm not speaking from a non-union person. I'm just saying unions have an agenda because they no longer speak on behalf of the education system. That's how I can have one of the strongest unions in the state and one of the worst school districts in the state, and they can put Common Core, anything they want, into this district, and it's still not going to help them. Go ahead, Matt.
All right, well, I had a couple things to say before, but I need to respond to what he just said, that teachers overwhelmingly support it. That's true to the point where when they don't experience it yet. The school district that we have, we had an overwhelming response and support for Common Core before we had it. I was one of the voices against it because I know what it's all about. I know why people try to defend it. We adopted Common Core 2 years down the line. Every single teacher that I've talked to, and I talked to a bunch of them, hate it. They want it gone. They can't believe that they ever, ever supported the program. The reason for that is because it takes the skills and the reasons that people went to school to become a teacher. It takes all of those skills away because they have to teach off one certain way. They have to, you know, teach in a certain curriculum of which they don't have any movement that they can make and use their God-given skills to be able to teach these kids. That is what these teachers have been telling me nonstop. So I'm not saying that's a lie. I'm saying that that's it's an incorrect assumption. What I wanted to say about Common Core originally was, when it comes down to these, you know, you could deal with math, you could deal with the reading, you could deal with storytelling or whatever. All Common Core does is try to, I'm not going to use the word indoctrinate, I'll say it makes a child think in a certain way, only the way that Common Core wants them to think. That's it. When it comes down to math, they teach them a certain process, and oh, by the way, those processes are not the same across the board, because one teacher that I know from one school district could not solve a problem from this school district that are both under Common Core because he didn't know the process that these teachers had to use. So it's not the same across the board. When it comes down to storytelling, When it comes down to storytelling, they don't want these children to answer who did what or who did it where or at what time. They want the child to be able to give their opinion on why something happened, and then they get graded on their opinion.
That's just not true. You need to read the standards, sir.
Sir, my kids
where
do
we read the standards,
two children.
You can go to corestandards.org. It has all of the standards in place. I think when you read them, you'll
you're
find
calling,
it,
you're calling
it's
me
against,
a liar when both my kids are in it. I've
wait,
seen the question.
Here. I know. I do, too. And here's what gets me. My school district in Warren City here, they never told one parent anything about Common Core. They didn't tell them they were implementing it. They didn't tell us anything. And my daughter hated it. She graduated this year, thank God. But she told me she didn't like it not because it was too hard. She didn't like it because it was too easy. She wasn't learning anything. She knew what was going on. Her friends knew the same thing.
Dr. Hill.
I'm confused
hold on,
here.
Hold on, Diva. No. Dr. Hill. Give him his mic. Turn his mic on.
I'm on?
Yes, yeah, you're talking to it.
Hey, how's everybody?
Good morning. How
Good
are
morning,
you?
Doc.
I'm well. Someone made a comment about the OGT.
I did.
I think it was the one of the callers
okay.
did. You know, you realize the OGT, by passing the OGT doesn't mean you're ready for college. So someone commented the fact that so many of our kids who graduate and go to college have to take remediation.
Right.
But because you pass the OGT doesn't mean you're ready for college. Because the OGT, the passing of that, I want to say, is means you're able to function on, I don't know, the 6th or 7th grade level or something along those lines. Not necessarily the 12th grade level.
Functional member of society.
Yeah.
I can attest to that. We took a practice OGT since freshmen aren't allowed to take the real OGT. We took a practice OGT in several of my classes. I took the math one. I got all except for one correct, and that was at the beginning of this school year. So I was probably operating at about 6th or 7th grade level, as he said, taking that test.
Eric, go ahead.
Pianki? I'm confused.
No, Diva, you have to wait. Go ahead, Pianki.
Hello, Tracy. You know.
Good morning.
Oops, I'm sorry. I'm going to put it up there. Being disrespectful. You know, Common Core, the reason why come children could not do math and was so inefficient, and it's not the sole reason, but one of the reasons before Common Core, because government interference in school districts. As someone has said, you know, two or three decades ago, children were doing very well. I mean, they used to have the hour basic skills, and children mastered the hour basic skills. We used to have reading problems. So Common Core, as someone mentioned, is how they want your children to think, the way they go about solving problems. And I think, in a way, that is wrong. I think that those ideas, those directions should be left up to the local community, parents, and stakeholders on the direction they want their children to go, and also set the outcomes.
Chad?
Thank you.
I couldn't agree more that all of those the way things are taught should remain local control. The Ohio legislature actually just passed something in the in House Bill 487 that just became law yesterday that guarantees that curriculum decisions, which are different than standards, by the way, and we haven't gone into that, but curriculum decisions are a matter of complete local control, that the state or federal government does not have a say in how things are taught. All the standards say are the goals that you need to reach, not how to get there. That continues. The only way that will ever be successful is if that's done at the local level by teachers who know the kids and know the needs of their students.
So in Common Core, can I teach my child, if I have a school district and my board decides that we're going to teach our children outside of the Common Core curriculum, is that okay if they've adopted Common Core?
Well, Common Core is only standards, not curriculum. You can choose whatever
okay.
curriculum you want. So the
so,
key is that, you know, yeah.
So I can choose whatever curriculum I want. So what is Common Core?
Common
so
Core is standards.
So the standard says they must know a certain level of math, a certain level of science, a certain level of English. Am I correct?
The standards for Common Core are only math and English. Ohio has standards of their own for science and social studies.
Let me ask you this, because I think either something's wrong here. So if my third grader knows that three times five is 15, that's the standard. Or does my fifth grader have to be able to tell me why 3 times 5 is 15?
The standards at various grade levels when the students are age appropriate will at times have them explain and make sure they understand what
that,
it is.
And,
but
and
they might be able
like,
to...
That sounds
go
like...
Listen,
I'm sorry,
hear,
go ahead.
Go ahead. I want you to finish.
Yeah, they may say something as simple as the explanation may be as simple as being able to say, you know, 3 times 5 means there are 3 groups of 5 or 5 groups of 3. I mean, just that's what I mean by understanding the how, understanding what it represents.
But that sounds like curriculum to me, not a specific result. A specific result is a fifth grader can do their multiplication tables up through 12.
Hey, Tracy.
That's a standard. Go ahead, Pete.
Are we not overcomplicating all of this by making them explain a fact?
Yeah, on purpose.
No, because
I think
they
are.
Hold on, Diva. Hold on, Bianchi. Go ahead, Diva.
I can't remain quiet anymore because you guys are dealing with people who come out of good school districts. It makes no sense that you guys cannot get the simple fact that not every student is grasping what you are saying because they are being taught different standards in different districts. When you get to a high school level and you have the order operation of Tempest, and we had people who are older than Common Core who can't understand Tempest because it was never taught in their school district.
Understand what?
But yet it was taught in the surrounding school district. Then something is wrong here.
Diva, you just
have,
said something that we didn't understand. Diva, stop. Hold on. Go back and say what you said because we all missed something that you said.
Order of operations, like when you get to learning algebra, order of operations that I learned when I was in high school was PEMDAS, P-E-M-D-A-S. Please excuse my dear Aunt Sally. It tells you how
PEMDAS?
To break down. Yes, PEMDAS. It tells you
It's an acronym. Parenthesis,
an acronym.
Addition,
parenthesis.
Multiplication,
division. Parentheses, exponent, multiplication, division. Addition and then
addition, subtraction.
And it tells you how to do an algebraic equation, how to break down the algebraic equation. When you have students, when you have people who don't understand PEMDAS, something is wrong. When you have people, that's why we have the debates that we're having on Facebook with the mathematical equation meme. Because people, you have a large group of people who understand PEMDAS and who know that when you see that, it's PEMDAS. Do you have another group who says, no, you just go left to right. That's how you do it. That is wrong in our society that you have two mindsets, two thoughts and ways of how to break down a math problem. It should not be argued.
Correct answer.
Okay, so the question is, Dr. Hill just asked a question.
Don't.
Okay, now let me chat.
Yeah,
let me, listen, my mom does math totally different. My mother is 84. She does math totally different than I do. Allison, do you guys use PEMDAS in school?
We used to. Now we're just told, solve the problem however you can do it. If you get the right answer, then the question is marked as correct. PEMDAS is simply a system of organizing how you solve a problem. Say.
So I can solve it any way that I choose as long as I get to the ultimate correct answer at the bottom of the day.
Yeah.
Yes?
Say if you have 5 plus 3 by 2, the grouping system for that would actually be 5 plus 3 times 2, which would be 11. Or that is the usual organization system. But you could solve it what is considered the wrong way of 5 plus 3 multiplied by 2. If you're to...
Which gives you a completely different answer.
Correct. So,
yeah.
Chad, would that be a part of the Common Core, or would that be, or
yeah. Things like order of operations? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. That. Yeah. Order of operations.
So,
you know,
so
they,
order of operations
there aren't
only be one way.
Yeah. Yes.
It would only teach
yes.
one way across the standardized across the country. So no matter where you went, you would only get one standard or one operation of completing a problem.
Hey,
is that what I'm getting?
That's correct.
So
I think the
hold on, Bianchi. So how am I thinking it through if I'm always doing it the same way?
Well, you know, look, there are some things you need to think through and understand how you do it. And then there are, I mean, you do have to know the algorithms. You do have to know the rules. You know, when you're studying geometry, you have to know Pythagorean theorem, a squared plus b squared equals c squared. There's not other options for that, right? If you want to solve for the hypotenuse in a right triangle, you have to know that. So they won't tell you other options of doing that. So, I mean, there's not like three ways that you need to learn for each thing. There are algorithms, and that will be part of the Common Core. Because remember, it's trying to prepare you to have the skills necessary for whatever you decide to do in life, whether that's going directly to a job, working in construction, as someone mentioned earlier, or going to college. So you have those options.
I've got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM. How long do I have you scheduled for?
I think I'm down for an hour, so as long as you need me.
We'll be right back.
Is that a Common Core hour?
Here on WSOM AM 600, the number 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care.
Oh, thank you.
All right, what's going on, guys?
Okay, sure.
I think they're trying to get people prepared where they can't calculate their Social Security benefits since they won't be there anyway.
No, y'all confusing me. Because you, Matt, Sticks, and Tracy for a long time have been saying Common Core does not teach critical skill thinking. Now, this gentleman just sat up here along with Dr. Brandy, pointed out critical skill thinking is in that. Now you guys are still upset, so I'm confused.
No, I'm not. No. That's not what I'm saying. No. Critical skill thinking is different from what he's saying. You got to listen to him and go, we are using critical skill thinking. And then he'll say, we need to teach them this certain way to do something. That's not critical thinking.
Well,
that's not critical thinking
no,
at all.
Because when it,
critical thinking.
No.
Let me just
finish. Critical thinking is, Go ahead, Matt.
Critical thinking is giving examples of way to go about doing things and then allowing the person to come up with their own way to come to a certain answer. That's not what Common Core does. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, you do understand that in math, critical thinking, when you get to algebra, calculus, and all those higher-ups math, that's not really likely because when you get to college, when you get to, say, an Ohio State University, and they're teaching math one way, then guess what? If you didn't learn that way, you're an SOL up the creek without a paddle, and you're stuck in remedial classes. That's the problem that I have with you guys are not understanding.
No, I have an
because
answer.
Go ahead.
Bianchi, you want to answer that first?
No, go ahead. I don't have no kids experiencing Common Core, so you do.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, Diva. However, like when you get to college, I as far as I know, I've never went to college, so I'm not exactly sure what they're going for. But all of my brothers and sisters did, and you're pretty much left on your own to get to the answer that they need. So I'm not sure what you're talking about.
No, you're not. I don't know what colleges they went to.
My sister went to about seven of them. But go ahead.
Okay, for example, order of operations. You're left on your own on how to get the answers, but it's standard order of operations. It's not a free for all. Say you got 5 + 3 × 2, like the young lady pointed out. It's not 5 + 3, then you times that 8 by 2.
Right, in brackets.
But the fact of the matter is, well, even if you don't have the bracket. A lot of people don't understand that you do the 3 × 2 first. A lot of people don't understand you put the brackets in just to make it easier, and then you get three. They don't understand that.
What's the answer to that,
Dean? The answer is 11. The answer is 11. 3 × 2 first, plus 5. The answer is 11. You'd be surprised how many people don't know that order of operations.
So 5 plus 3 times 2 is not 16?
What, why not just ask them what is 5 plus 6 and be done with it?
Order of operation is a part of mathematics to begin with. That's not, you know, Common Core will take order of operation and turn it into 30 different things and then tell you that they want you to do a certain thing with pictures or whatever.
You're not getting it, Matt. You are not getting it. You guys are not getting it. You're not getting the simplicity of it.
Here's what I get. What I get is the fact that in this day and age, okay, our students are failing miserably and can barely read. Now, go back 40 years ago, 50 years ago, and there was a much better outcome to our students going through primary school, junior high, and high school. Now, there's an issue when every time the state gets involved and introduces programs, things get worse and worse and worse. And right now we're at the lowest point, and Common Core is turning out morons.
It's not only the state, but it's the federal government, too.
The difference between 50 and 40 years ago is that you had more parental involvement. You had mothers at home, fathers helping their children with these math equations, with their reading. You don't see that a lot anymore. You may have seen that in your school district, in your area, but in a lot of areas you don't see it.
SOMAM 600. It's a Common Core Day, and it's very interesting. You know, we're not supposed to talk during the break. We're supposed to, like, talk about the sun and stuff, but not about the show. But there's so much that came on and came out during the break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I have Dr. Hill from Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley with us. I have Dr. Danielle here. Dr. Danielle is from DC Chiropractic. She is our homeopathic doctor.
I'm a naturopath.
Naturopath.
Yes, I'm a naturopath.
She's a naturopath homeopathic doctor.
And I don't know.
Do you do homeopathic?
No, my concentration was not in homeopathy. I do use some homeopathic remedies, but very little of it. I'm an eclectic naturopath, so most of what I do is nutrition-based. I am a master herbalist, but I am not a homeopath.
She's a naturopath, and sticks, claws, or what do you call Dr.?
Stems and twigs.
Stems and twigs. And then we have Allison, who is going into her sophomore year, and she's a student here. Stix is in the studio with me. I'm here. And we have a gentleman by the name of Chad Aldis. And Chad Aldis is from Thomas Fordham Institute, and it's about education. And I asked him to come on and talk about Common Core. And I hope Chad, you're not getting beat up too bad, are you?
No, this is nothing.
Okay,
great discussion.
This is good. Okay. I have a question, because you said that the Common Core is about English and math.
Yep, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Help me with the English part.
Mm-hmm.
How do you have Common Core English and teach standards for English? Because, when I say that, I have friends who are college graduates who have not mastered the King's English at all.
Yeah.
Now, how is Common Core going to stop that?
Well, and let me read you a couple of examples from literature, just a couple of the standards. And I think that will kind of show you how you're able to do it, how the goals aspect works without there being without it telling teachers what to teach, but just what they want to accomplish. So one of the grade 6 literature goals is explain how an author develops the point of view of the narrator or speaker in a text. So when you read something, you know, understanding what the author is trying to say. Now, the teacher picks what that reading material is. The Common Core doesn't dictate that you should read this book at this grade level. Another example is cite textual evidence to support analysis of what the text says explicitly, as well as inferences drawn from the text. So, you know, I know some critics talk about it being what you feel, but it's not.
Hold on a second. What grade would that be? Would that state?
That was grade 6. Grade 6. That was a grade 6 standard.
So, Doc, did you understand what he just said? So wait a minute. So what that statement you just made is on a sixth grade English test.
Well, this is a standard that sixth grade teachers help their kids to do.
Okay.
So it's
historically,
hasn't that been somewhat problematic when you say what someone infers from what they read? Because what you infer from what you read is based on a lot of different intangible things, as far as where you live, who you grew up with, what your experiences are. Because I could read something, you could read something, and come to different inferences based on our historic backgrounds and so forth.
No, that's exactly right. That's why the text, and that's why the textual evidence is so important. So you find something the author writes, you give a textual provision, and then you say, okay, and this is what I take that to mean, and you can bring your own reasoning to bear. And that's what teachers help us do.
But again, isn't that still very subjective and
and where you draw the line between right and wrong?
Not only that, but you know, my.
How am I supposed to know what when I'm reading Edgar Allan Poe? How am I really supposed to know what he's talking about?
Well, and hopefully this helps you
right.
learn. Hopefully this helps you learn Edgar Allan Poe because your teacher guides you through it. You know, sometimes I hear our discussion right now getting a little wrapped up in the test. This isn't about the test. This particular thing is about helping. Hold on just a second.
Students, because when you have, especially with literature, I mean, if we're talking about, you know, things like Poe and Tolkien and you know, Mary Shelley or any of the other classics, there is a level of interpretation that is very subjective, and it's based on, you know, again, as Dr. Hill said, where I came from, what my experiences in life are. And I may read a passage of Edgar Allan Poe when I'm 16 and get something out of it, and read it again when I'm 25 and have had other life experiences and get something new from it.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And there's no right or wrong answer on this. This is a skill that you need to learn.
How are you setting these goals to how do you gauge that a child has mastered that skill? Because it's so subjective.
Well, teachers do. Teachers do. That's what teachers do. I mean, when you read it, think back in high school literature, when you read a textbook or when you read Julius Caesar in usually 10th grade, and when you read that, then the teacher would say, okay, what did you learn from it? What did this mean? You were drawing inferences. All this is saying is, look, we need to be able to draw inferences.
Hold on,
Pianchi. I've got 518, and I've got Matt. 518, your mic is on.
Yes. I just wanted to say a couple things real quick. I think we need to take the magnifying glass and focus in a little bit more on what the real issue is. I think the issue is, it sounds like the school systems or the people that come up with the curriculum are trying to reinvent the alphabet or reinvent numbers. So, and then also I think these tests, the kids are up against time. They're getting stressed out. There's a lot of pressure, and it seems like they're rushing through the curriculum to get these kids to understand what they need to know. So what is the big rush, and why are we rushing the kids through the system, and why not just keep things simple and stop complicating it? I think a lot of the people who are coming up with the curriculums and stuff like that, what they're doing is they're making things way more complicated than it needs to be. So that's all I wanted to say. If you guys can make sense of anything that I said, I just feel that we're trying to reinvent letters. We're trying to reinvent the alphabet. I mean, the numbers. You're rushing the kids through the curriculum. And everybody doesn't learn at the same rate. And it seems like we're racing against who, I don't know. When you rush, you make mistakes. And I think we're rushing our children's future. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you, guys.
Okay.
First time
Thanks
caller.
A lot.
Keep up the good work. And I hope we can get this resolved. Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Yes.
South Carolina.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning.
Well, 550, don't hang up. You're next. Go ahead, South Carolina.
I just want to say like this. I learned a simple philosophy. Keep it simple, stupid. And what I'm seeing with all the changes with Common Core and the way they're doing it, it does not make any sense. Why are you trying to impose something in the system that we had already works fine? It's been working very fine for years and years and years. And what the doctor was saying just a few minutes ago about inferences and analysis, that's stuff that I'm dealing with now on a doctoral level. Before that, I don't hear that kind of terminology anywhere else except in my doctoral classes. I mean, why are you trying to make kids go to such a level and make it so hard? School should be someplace that's, yes, it should be someplace that they learn, but it should also be fun. I mean, my wife teaches, and there's nothing fun about teaching Common Core. It's ridiculous.
550, your mic is on.
Tracy Winbush, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Right? Hey, Common Core. Okay, now, the person who you're talking to, where is he from?
Chad, tell us where you're from again.
The Thomas B. Fordham Institute. We're based in Columbus.
Okay. Are you familiar with Diane Rabotich?
Yes, I am.
Oh boy, woman.
Yeah, well, she's a highly respected educational expert. Well, she's definitely against this Common Core. I've been reading about it, and from what I come up with, it's an unproven scheme just to change your educational system. And the reason why, you have 44 states, and trust me, I voted for the president, but it was more so bribery money is the reason why they got into it, and now, especially Ohio, because you have the senator, the congressman from Marietta, he's putting legislation in now to opt out of Common Core. The private schools in the state of Ohio are opting out. And one thing you said is that you said it's not about the test. It is about the test. In order to pass the Common Core test, you have to take some of those classes. And just like with what they're saying, to go from point A to point B, with the problem, you want to go over the mountain instead of just going right through it, just literally speaking, because you have Indiana. They declined to as far as the Common Core thing. Now, just with a simple explanation, you have been talking. I've been listening to you. But if I was to ask each one of those persons what's the definition of Common Core, I don't think anyone could actually come up with it to explain to somebody else.
A set of standards each child should know in English, language, arts, and math, goals they should know every year, grade K through 12.
Okay, what we have right now going, and I talked about this at least 5 years ago, they have, if a student cannot get out third grade reading, if you cannot get out of third grade on the reading, you will be held back, but there's other things you have to go through. I always said, if I go into a sixth grade classroom, and I take a third grade book, and if there's one student in that class that can't read that book, there's a problem somewhere. We have this going right now in the state of Ohio. You're from Ohio, so you should be familiar with this. I think this is a very good thing. They just can't read. Common Core, just like you have your basic. You have your basics. You have addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division, okay? Those are your basics. You should know that. I don't care what anybody says. Okay, algebra, geometry, everybody's not going to learn algebra and geometry. I know geometry. I know algebra. Everybody's not going to learn that. But if you walking around here and cannot add, subtract, divide, and multiply, and cannot read at a third grade level, you have a problem. Common Core is just diluting all of that stuff.
They're rushing. We have to stop rushing. What?
Hold on,
America,
hold on, hold on, 269. I'll pull you in just a second. Go ahead, Chad.
Well, you know, Common Core does not dilute it, because if it diluted the standards, everyone wouldn't be saying how hard they are, how difficult they are. You know, we're looking at this like everything's going great in Ohio in education, but I think as your last caller just said, there's so many kids who can't read at grade level in third grade. They just announced yesterday that at the end of the 10% or 12% of kids in the state of Ohio that are in third grade can't read at a third grade level. Those students are going to end up dropping out. Many of them will end up in prisons. They're not going to find jobs and work in many cases.
What's the solution?
And guess what? They have just purchased 300,000 books to go to the prison systems in the state of Ohio. They've asked for that. Common Core books to go into the prison systems into the state of Ohio.
How do we get the people interested to know the importance of learning? We have to get the solution. We know the problems. We have to focus on solutions. How do we get the people to get involved and to want to care and see how important education is?
If you're teaching them in a confused way, of course they're going to turn away from it. I think a
question,
lot of
guys.
Excuse me.
Go ahead. You said you think there's a lot of stuff that they're teaching is what?
They're doing it in a confused manner. Like it just seems like my child is in the third grade. Now I'm gonna tell you guys this. How do you get all A's on your report card but you don't do good on your testing? That's what happened personally to my child, and that's what's making me upset, because it just seems like there's two different types of curriculum being taught. You have your basics, and then you have the teaching for this test, and that's too much for these little kids to take on. We're stressing our children out because we're giving them too much. We're rushing them to grow up for what? This is America, not Russia. And I say that literally. We don't have to rush. That's the problem. We're going too fast for our children.
I think back to one of your guests at the beginning who said that she knows a valedictorian at Youngstown who needed to get from a Youngstown high school who had to go to college and needed remedial courses. That shouldn't happen. Kids who do the best at Youngstown schools should be able to go to whatever college they want. Right now, the standards are so low, and there's great inflation going on. They're being told they're doing well, but then at the end of the day, they can't do math and reading at grade level. And that shouldn't happen.
But then, hold on, one at a time, guys. Whoa, one at a time, because I have a question also. Chad, give out your website again. Give out the Common Core website. It's commoncore.org, if I'm not mistaken. Give out your
it's
website.
Sure.
Core Standards?
I'm sorry. CoreStandards.org is the National Common Core Standards website. Our website, which we have a lot of commentary on Ohio policies, including Common Core and National Common Core stuff, is edexcellence.net. That's edexcellence.net.
And the number here is 347-945-5229. I have a question. Back with the No Child Left Behind, we brought standardization into the curriculum, and they almost lost their mind. Now Common Core is coming in, and people are losing their mind again. Tell me, what is the difference between the standardization of the No Child Left Behind legislation and the standardization of Common Core? What is the difference?
That's a great, because there is a big difference. No Child Left Behind, what it did for the first time ever was made us measure the progress every child was making. For better or worse, everyone in grades 3 through 8 took a test. We started looking at subgroups. Before, a lot of times people would just talk about how their great students did, but not how everyone in their school did. So No Child Left Behind was a little painful for a lot of us, but it put an emphasis on how individual groups were doing on the state test. The one of the problems we ended up having was that some states, Ohio did not do this like some states lowered their bar on the test so they could say everyone was proficient. For instance, in Mississippi, like 95% of students were proficient in math and English. Well, what we realized is they just lowered their cut scores on their tests, so you didn't have to get that many right to be told you were doing a good job. Now, Ohio did not do that, and here we had 75 to 80% proficient. You've probably seen that on the state report cards. Common Core, the difference this doesn't say you need to hit this percentage, you need to hit that percentage. It says, you know what? What are the standards kids need to know so that when they get out of high school, they could either go to work, they could go to the military, or they could go to college, whatever works best for them. And that's what it's trying to do. Is, yeah.
How do we get the standards?
Tracy,
say that again.
Let me say something.
Hold on, Pianki, hold on.
How do we
because
set
that's
these
not
standards?
Entirely true.
Hold on, Pianki. What did you say?
How do we set these standards?
So what Ohio has done right now is...
Are to enable you to go to work or go to college, et cetera? Who determines what these standards are?
Yeah. There are some college and career readiness standards that have been sort of adopted at the national level, and the Common Core tries to align to those. So in a lot of states, it's colleges and universities that talk about what that should be. The career ready, look, that's a little bit amorphous, right? It's a little bit hard to grasp and figure out exactly what it is, and that's going to vary by business and by industry. Ohio just added actually a new industry certificate, one of the options is to get an industry certificate as part of your graduation. So Ohio's done some modifications outside of Common Core, but some things to try to address that very issue in question. But there's a certain level of base skills we need, and I think somebody mentioned it earlier, to be a functioning member of society, to be a good citizen.
Hold on. Pianki, go ahead.
Hold on, Matt. You know, the standards, the state sets minimum standards. It's the local community that sets the bar as high as they want. That's the way it should be. Curriculums are dictated according to state constitutions. Most constitutions that I ever read are dictated by the local community. If this is where the direction that your children wants to go, you want your children to go in, then that's the way it should be. Let me tell you what they did with this grading. At one time, if you had 8 out of 10 and your students in the classroom that was doing well, then that was 80%. But when you have 23 or 25 out of 100 doing well, that's a whole different thing. And this is what they've done. If for 5 years you had 25 out of 100 doing well, then all of a sudden you had 30 out of 100, which is just 30% of the class, they listed that as better than expected. And they snowed the public over with that type of rhetoric. So, you know, let's be truthful. And one other thing, these individuals you name, Diane Ravitch, Gary Arfield, the Harvard Project, Susan Eaton, Martin Bloom, P.D. Hirsch, those individuals in particular, when it came to African-American school districts wanting to go into a certain direction, have always came out against it. Always. Going back to the 1990s in Detroit, all the way to just recently here in St. Louis when they wanted to have a cultural theme African-centered school district, not school, but school within the St. Louis Public School District. They have always been against.
Hold on. Go ahead. Matt, your mic's up.
I'm going to go back to something he was talking about, and it dealt with No Child Left Behind, Common Core, and the ideal of looking at every kid and trying to help them individually. I'm going to tell you a very inconvenient truth, and you can disagree with me all you want, but this is absolute fact. You can't get by this. It's impossible to do that. It's impossible. And all it does is allow for people to come in with their own ideas, be able to teach in certain ways. You can't do that. It's very simple. You set a standard, the kids meet the standard, or they fail. It's not that hard, because that's the only way it can be done. That's the way it was done for 150 years. And now we're trying to change it, and things are looking worse and worse every time government gets involved with these new programs. Sorry.
Wow.
Hold on, Diva. Hold on. 269, your mic is on. Go ahead, Diva.
Tracy, could I ask one question?
Sure.
Tracy,
yeah.
Can I ask one question?
Sure.
Yes. Okay, Common Core, where did Common Core come from? I would like you to explain, then I'll give my explanation. Where did you all get Common Core from?
In late 2007, early 2008, the National Governors Association, along with a council of state of chief state school officers, state-level superintendents of schools, got together and said, and it was driven by the governors, who said, listen, our states are falling behind other countries in the world, and we think that the fact that our standards are too low is a huge part of it. So they started pushing on the issue and worked to have standards created. That was what started it. Now, as one of your callers did mention, President Obama, after he took office, said, wow, these standards, they're a really good idea. And he did incentivize states to adopt them. But the development of them was already well underway.
Hold on, Ron. I have a question before you jump in. I want to know, did this develop outside, did this concept come from a program for the United Nations?
No.
No.
Go ahead, Ron.
I know the answer to that one. No.
Who are we falling behind? Can you make that clear? Who are we falling behind, educational wise?
who's falling behind educational wise?
Yeah. Yeah.
You can you yeah. Yeah, you the US students overall are
I have a question for you. If this is supposed to set minimum standards for employment, why is part of the standard not teaching how to read a tape measure?
Lord have mercy.
because not everyone will go into a job like that, right? But if you can do geometry, if you can do measurements, if you can do the...
You know how to use tape measure.
No, I hate to tell you this, but one of the largest complaints I have from my friends who hire people is nobody can read a tape measure.
Well,
that tells me that there's a problem with your standards.
Well,
you've
got to remember these standards...
About the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation... And the data mining.
Okay.
Okay,
can
I get back to my point?
Well, one at a time, guys.
Can I get back to my point? Okay. You were right about the National Governors Association, and you keep bringing up as far as behind other countries. Now, see, you said it right. I've talked to another person, and they claim that they did these studies, but they couldn't show me one country that Common Core came from. Common Core came from the United States of America, and you also had a nonprofit organization involved in that. But that's where it came from, United States of America. Even though they like to say we're behind other countries, there's not one country that you can name where Common Core is working. Or even
Matt, go ahead.
What I said.
Matt, go ahead.
Common
Core was an idea that has been introduced for quite a long time. It was an idea, maybe not in complete name, but if you look at the way that it's set up, it was set up through a United Nations idea in partnership with quite a few other programs that they were considering for state-by-state issues. Look at programs like Agenda 21, and you'll see Common Core idealism in Agenda 21. It's definitely a United Nations idea.
Go ahead, Diva.
I'm just confused as to... Now you guys have confused me as to why you're so upset, because for the longest time when we've been discussing Comic Con on this show, I've heard things of it's going to dumb you down. It takes away critical thinking. Well, all we've heard, and I've seen it myself firsthand from my daughter and my nieces, is that it's not dumbing down. It's taken away from how we learned it, which I was upset about. But then after Chad explained how they have basically changed math, where now you really have to figure out how to get to the answer, because my 9-year-old niece was sitting here doing a basic math problem. And I'm like, okay, well, 5 times 7, that's 35. And she's like, well, no, you know, we have to do it this way. We have to figure out how we're getting to 5 times 7. And I'm getting upset, and I'm like, well, 5 times 7 is 35. That's how I learned it. That's how you should be learning it. No, it shouldn't. She should understand how she's getting to five times 7. The fact is, you guys have been complaining about this. You've been complaining about that, and everything has been knocked down and countered what you were saying, and now you guys are still upset. And I'm trying to figure out
Diva, sweetie, nobody's upset. We're having a discussion. That's what this is. That's why there's someone on here with an opposing view, so that we will have some information. This is not about think the way we think. This is about getting information so that you can think what's going to be best for your own community and for your own child. See, the problem is we don't always know. So you need to have all sides so you can make an objective decision based upon your own personal interest.
Tracy, I just want to correct something you said, just so you're absolutely truthful in your statement. I am personally upset. So not everyone may not be.
Why are you upset?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm totally upset. I've watched my kids get completely ruined over the last 2 years because of this program. Completely ruined.
Well,
and
I don't have any children. I'm not upset yet. Hold on. Jeff, go ahead.
Matt is absolutely correct. I'm thoroughly upset. My child is 20 years old, but I have grandniece and nephews, whatever I'm going to have here. And they have to come through this United States school system, and these people are making sure that they do not learn how to reason. That is what's going on here. There is no reasoning when you don't have a right and a wrong. You must have right and wrong to have reasoning. You can't, and that's why Common Core is no good. You can't do that. If you, I give you credit if you tell me how you got to 4 plus 4 is 7. No, you're not giving no credit. The answer is wrong. 4 plus 4 is 8. It's not 7.
But not if you can explain it, Jeff, but it'll be okay. Hold on. 440, your mic is on.
You know, let's cut through all this bull crap. All it is that Bill Gates spent a lot of money instituting this along with our federal government. It's a leftist thing, and the states were paid off to institute it, period. You know,
period.
You don't need 38 steps to figure out 2 and 2 is 4. You don't need that. And that's all this is all about money. And that's
wow.
how it was instituted. That's how it was instituted, plain and simple. The states that were paid off, period.
Now, can he answer that?
He's true.
Is there a rebuttal to that?
Hold on. Chad, are you there?
Yes,
I know
I am.
I've got to let you go in a minute. Go ahead.
Yeah. As I mentioned earlier, there was an incentive in Race to the Top for
there
states to do this. But now, just hold on a second. Not all states got Race to the Top. I think only around 20 states did. How come over 40 are still in Common Core? The simple answer is governors started this process.
No,
wait a minute. Go ahead.
Name me, because there is a political breakdown between those states that have and those states that don't have. Am I correct?
In terms of Race to the Top is pretty spread out apart and and in terms of adoption of Common Core, 42
yeah.
states currently have it in place. So the vast majority do, have. Go ahead.
So the vast majority, they Republican and Democrat states have Common Core. Am I correct?
That's correct.
How about Ohio?
Ohio does in math and English language arts, you know, which is what the Common Core has.
And so has it been implemented across all 88 counties?
Ohio's State Board of Education adopted the standards in 2010, and they've been implementing them a little bit at a time since then. Next year will be the year when our assessments are now going to be for the first time fully aligned to the Common Core standards. So they've been being implemented over the last few years. Districts have spent millions of dollars over time with professional development, with training, with buying the curriculum that teachers have requested in order to implement these standards, in order to achieve these goals.
Someone's making money off of that.
Oh, absolutely. Wait a minute.
Well,
there's money in there.
That was my question
earlier.
I have a question. If this is supposed to be for the good of the students, and it's supposed to make them more employable and better educated, why is there so much emphasis on passing this test? I have never gone to a job interview where someone asked me for my standardized test scores, nor have I ever asked an applicant for my business for a copy of their standardized test scores. Why is it not more important that they are proficient and they are able to do the work than that they pass these tests? Because I have seen a number of employees in my offices that we have let go because they were unable to perform the tasks necessary because they did not have the basic skills to perform those tasks, and they are simple skills like doing basic math. We're putting so much emphasis on these standardized tests, which have absolutely nothing to do with the goals that you're saying you're setting for people to make them more employable or make them, you know, more of a positive influence on society. And I'm not getting why making someone take, in the instance of math, a very simple math fact that we memorize. It's what it is. It's a fact. And break it down into multiple steps and explain why they got to that point. The why is that it's a fact that that's the answer. And then once they are proficient in the facts, then we move on to more complicated skills that require reasoning. But we don't have students coming out of school who are mastering the basics. And I just don't understand how this is supposed to benefit those students.
Dr. Hill?
Yeah.
You were going to say something. Okay. Chad, do you want to answer that?
Yeah. Too many people, as your guest alluded to, haven't mastered the basic facts, and that's a problem. It's one of the reasons the Common Core does require that. It's very explicit in the standards. You look at third grade standards in math, it talks about
that. The standards are great. You can have standards and goals out the wazoo, but how do you accomplish it? It's the implementation of this
absolutely
that we have the problem with, because if the implementation of what we're trying to accomplish does not reach that goal in a way that can be used by the individual, it's worthless.
And the implementation is the key point, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that's done in every local school district, in every classroom in the state. Teaching doesn't occur in Columbus. It doesn't occur in D.C. It happens at the local level. So this is just a roadmap. It's just a guidepost, what you should achieve, what you should know. How that gets done is entirely the result of great teachers. That's why if these standards are going to be successful, they'll have to be implemented well in every single classroom around the state.
Hold on, Dr. Hill.
Well, I have a question.
Hold on.
I have a two-part question. I currently sit on a school board of a charter school, and what this board does every 3 years or so, they have a new program that they purchase because it's going to help the kids learn better. And the presentation is the same. This is the best thing since sliced bread. Then 3 years later, something new comes aboard. This is the best thing since sliced bread. So 5 years from now, what's going to be the new thing to replace this? Because we all know it's coming. Tell me something new.
Right.
We had the IEPs a few years ago. My kids were on the IEPs, and I got to tell you, as a parent, having gone through that, that was the worst experience ever. And my kids, again, I taught my kids math. I taught them how to do fractions. I taught them how to do percentages.
Oh, you spent time.
Yes, I did. Yes, I worked with my kids.
You don't need to do that.
But let me tell you something. At the IEP meetings, I actually had to argue with the school psychiatrist and the principal, who asked me, I said I did not want my daughter to have a reader. I wanted her to have help where she needed it to understand specific words, but she was not to be read to. And that was part of her IEP, was that they were going to give her a reader and a scribe, someone to read to her the test and someone to write for her, because she did not possess the skills to do so herself. Okay? Somebody tell me how that helps my kid learn.
Hold on. 718, your mic is on.
I have a question.
Thanks, Doc Hill.
My job calls.
Go deliver a baby. We appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Good afternoon. No, good morning.
Hey,
good morning.
Take
care, Doc.
Okay.
Hold on. 718, your mic is on.
Yeah, I have a question for the guest.
Go ahead, Minty.
All right, real quick. I would like to know, what is this percentage of children that are actually passing these Common Core tests? Because for children such as my child, who's first grade going to second grade, she's grasping how to do this Common Core stuff like a sponge, and she's excelling at it. Now, for children who are, let's say, third grade and up, or who are now being introduced to this, I'm curious how are they doing with these tests?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Right now, The test that Ohio has chosen to use when the Common Core is fully implemented, which will be next school year, is called the PARCC, P-A-R-C-C. And it is a test used by about 10 or 15 other states. And it has not been fully rolled out yet. So next year will be its first year. So we can't really give passage rates. What we can tell you is states like New York and Kentucky have instituted harder tests than their prior state tests, and their passage rates went down a lot on it. So when I say harder tests, it wasn't just harder tests for the sake of being hard. It was ones that really tried to get at whether the kids were really understanding, could think critically, could you know, write a paragraph on, not talking math here, but in English, write a paragraph instead of filling in bubbles. So that we wouldn't just be, you know, sort of the old saying of drill and kill, where you just try to do standardized tests all the time. How do we do this so that we can test whether kids are learning and understanding and critically thinking? And on those tests, their passage rates went way down. Now, the key will be what happens if in 1 year or 2 years or 3 years, as the students who aren't quite as quick as your child are able to grasp and move themselves up to that level, and how teachers will be able to adjust and raise those proficiency levels back up, which hopefully will reset the floor. We'll have a much higher level of overall understanding. That's what we're hoping we'll see. But next year, the proficiency rates will go down in Ohio, and they'll likely go down significantly. And it's important we don't overreact, because that doesn't mean our kids got worse overnight. It means you took a different kind of test. This is an accurate measure of where we are, and the key will be how we improve from that going forward.
Hey, listen, Chad, I want to thank you for coming on with me. I appreciate it. Any closing remarks?
Well, you know what? It was a pleasure. Great questions that your guests and callers had. This is an issue that will affect folks, and I encourage parents to get involved, to interact with their local school districts and teachers, because that's where this is implemented. And make sure your voice is known and heard. And I encourage you to read the standards if you haven't. I think it's a lot scarier until you read them and you're like, wow, there's nothing in here I wouldn't want my kids to know. So thank you very much. I'd be happy to come on again anytime.
I would love to have you back. Listen, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Before I go, I've got to let Matt in, because I've got to go. Six is going to come over here and take over for me, and I'm going to go to break. Hey, go ahead, Matt. You had some comments.
Yeah, I just want to say one thing, and this was about him saying that this wasn't a UN-introduced idea. And I understand the Common Core as it is, except the words Common Core don't come in. But he said, and you guys can go back and listen to the archive show, and it was right before my last comment that he made this. He said, we need to teach our children how to be good citizens. I don't know if anybody caught that or not. But that's exactly what he said.
He was repeating something.
Hold on,
well,
let me finish my comment. That's exactly what he said.
Say it again. Say what he said again.
He said, we need to teach our children how to be good citizens. Those are key words when used by globalist fundamentalists.
They're going to get us from the hospital.
Hey, Tracy. I'm sorry, man.
Heil Hitler.
Anyway, those are exact words used by people in this globalist site. I'm going to put something in the chat room for everybody to look at, but I want you, those words, global citizen, are key words when talking about a one world order, and that's exactly what he did.
Absolutely.
I want to bring up something that Bill brought up to me in a message. When I brought up about reading the tape measure, did you notice he chuckled? Like somehow that the basic skill like that is just absolutely unnecessary anymore.
Well, you need to read the tape measure. How you gonna know how tall you are?
I couldn't put up an office building if my people didn't know how to read a tape measure.
You can't operate in society without being able to read a tape measure.
And why did he say, Sticks, that the reason that they don't teach that is because not everybody will be in that type of a workforce. Why do we need to learn these things to become doctors and contractors and stuff? Because not everybody's going to be in that workforce.
But if you know geometry, you'll be able to read a tape measure. And he did not say everyone needs to be good citizens. He said functioning. He said functioning in society. He was repeating something Sticks said. Because Six earlier in the conversation said, oh, we need to have people basically being able to function in society. And he said, yeah, sure. And he was
No. Listen back to the archive. You're wrong.
He
said
the
kids need to be good citizens. Yes, you are.
No, he never said that.
But, you know, here's another point. When they talk about inferment, when you have a child read something that's in the Declaration of Independence, that's in one of the articles of the Constitution, then the teachers ask you, well, what did they really mean? It looks to me like the Constitution will be nothing longer in the future, something thrown in the trash can. That's an old document like President Bush once said.
Y'all was never asked that question in high school. Y'all was never asked an in-depth discussion in high school when it came to civics and American history. Y'all didn't have these type of discussions in school. Y'all didn't have these type of discussions in college. I'm just shocked.
Now it's quite obvious what the person said.
The questions are bad.
Yeah.
When I got to college,
yeah.
Having an in-depth discussion when it comes to language arts.
Go ahead,
when it
Jeff.
Came to English and with arts having an in-depth discussion was very necessary. And if you don't teach them at grade school level, they're not going to learn. They're not going to know how to do that functioning in college.
What they're doing, Diva, is they're going to go through mass reprogramming of the next generation of children. That's what this program is about, because they can't have you or me or anybody that rebels against the government, because the government has to have total control. That's what it's for.
So this is about...
Yeah.
No,
please listen. Please listen for a second before you just talk.
Because
everything I say, you have to say a defiant action against. This is not what this is about. You need to listen for a second. Please just listen for a second. Don't make me insult you. I'm being nice to you, trying to be nice to you. Don't make me insult you. Because you just need to shut the hell up and shut up for a second. Because you won't listen to what nobody's saying.
Well, Diva, why don't you let the man speak?
What I say. No, that's how the left goes. They can't let you do that. Because if the truth comes out, then that little circle behind players are destroyed.
Yeah, you wrecked the program for everybody else. Let Jeff speak.
Once again, they're reprogramming children because, just like Matt said, he made that statement in conjunction with several different things, but talking about the good citizenship is the same thing that you saw President Obama saying when he said, if some of your people are telling you they don't like the government, you need to let somebody know that, because they could be dangerous, and this, that, and the other. And if they tell you that they don't agree with what the government is doing, or this law, that law, or they like guns, you need to let us know. Let somebody know,
Let me tell you something. Now, all these liberals want to talk about Common Core and being uniformity and how everybody got to learn the same way. Let me tell you something. If everybody thought that way, you wouldn't have a computer, a smartphone, or anything, because this electronics is based off what's called Boolean algebra. That's because a man thought outside the box, he didn't conform, and here we have the digital world we have today.
No doubt.
You're missing the point. You're missing the fact. You're missing the simplest fact.
Well, nobody's missing a point, Diva. We're past your simple thinking. I'm sorry. We're way past it.
We're not missing any
point. We're seeing what the damn thing was meant to do. That's what we're looking at. We're looking at what the outcomes are.
I tend to over-talk you because you filibuster all the darn time, but you don't like when it's done to you now, do you? The simple fact of the matter is, you guys don't get the simple fact. Dr. Danielle, I think I have her name right. I don't know. There's so many doctors come on the show, I can't keep them straight. She said it her, our kids don't have a simple, basic skill. Now, why is that? Why is it that certain school districts do well and other school districts don't? And then the kids who come into those excelling school districts are doing poorly until they get caught up.
I can answer that, but you won't want to hear it.
Why don't you just apply Common Core to the ones that don't do good then?
I'm not done. When I'm done, you can talk. The fact of the matter is you had different school districts teaching differently. It makes no sense that in a basic concept as order of operations that you have 15 people getting 10 different answers.
Order of operations, Diva, has been taught for years. I understood it, and there was no Common Core, and that was 40 years ago.
A lot of people are not being taught the way you were taught. That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Common Core is certainly not teaching them the way I taught.
So why is that? Why is it
if some school districts...
Superintendent FOMAM 600. The number is 347-945-529. And do I hear you, Steve? Do I hear you screaming in people's ear in the break?
As soon as you went off, she started it.
You cannot just start screaming because you feel like it. We are still recording. I keep on telling you guys that, and you guys won't act right for love nor money. You can disagree and have a debate without screaming at the top of your lungs.
They don't know how to disagree.
And you don't know
how
to debate.
We don't know how to agree. We don't know how to agree.
Yeah, I know how to disagree until people start making me mad and talking over me. Then, I'm going to start yelling at you.
That's because you don't stop talking and you just keep on going. It's just like, you know,
because people who disagree,
Tracy, how you
seconds,
doing?
But people who agree can talk for a whole minute.
What's up, Tracy?
Hold on, Katie, I'll be right back. Hold on.
Tracy, I've been telling you we need to have gotten rid of the Department of Education 2 decades ago.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we didn't need it. If you look at all the great inventions like the power transistor, the integrated circuit, turntable combustion engine, none of those guys had Common Core Department of Education training. They figured it out on their own.
Hey, guys, Tracy has left the building.
Why do you have to have Melinda Gates and them putting $60 million into something like this? If this is not to indoctrinate the next future generation of American citizens, then I'm crazy.
Hey, let me interject something. If you guys Diva, please Diva.
Whoa.
Diva, is my mic off or something? Because Diva keep talking. Can I talk? Y'all hear me?
Hold on, everybody. Tracy has left the building. Let's regroup here. This is Styx. I'm in charge. This is WSOM 600 AM. The number is 347-945-5229, and I got a whole ton of people in the office here.
Good luck, Styx.
So, thanks, Jeff. All right, one at a time. Let's calm back down here. Let's calm down. We're going to go one at a time. Bianchi, you go ahead.
Well, as I said before, you look at the people who's behind this, the Gates and so on. So that has to be an agenda at hand. If you know, it's, when you take the rights of parents and the local community and having a say so on which direction their children are educated, then what's the use? Why do government these problems that we have with the non-education of our children came about with the influx of federal government interference. And they do it by saying, if you want our funds, if you want our aid, you have to go this route. And that's totally ludicrous.
Well, yeah, Bianchi, you're right. It seems to me that we are not teaching practical education any longer. With the advent of everybody has to go to college and everybody should go to college, you have ruined all of the practical aspects of education. I mean, the thing about the tape measure. How can you graduate someone from high school that cannot do basic measuration? I mean, what does that do for your society? Every job other than a job that sits behind a desk requires the use of a measuring device.
No,
that should
true.
Be. That is absolutely true.
I've never had to use a tape measure any of the jobs that I've had.
Have you ever had a job outside of an office job?
Yes, several.
Where?
As a phlebotomist. I'm a certified phlebotomist. And I've never had
that's
to use a tape measure.
Diva, that is an office.
You said a unit of measure.
That is not an office job.
It doesn't have to be a tape measure. It can be anything. It can be a thermometer.
I know how to measure.
Diva. Do you work outside of a building? Does a phlebotomist work outside of a building?
Depends. You can go in. Depends if the phlebotomist has to go into the field and work.
What field? Where are you pulling blood out in the middle of a construction site?
Oh, so you're talking about construction workers.
No. I'm talking about every job other than a job that requires okay, any job other than a white collar. A phlebotomist is a white collar job, Diva. Or a pink collar job, I guess you could call it. Okay, I stand corrected. Then anything other than a white collar or a pink collar job. You can't even sell fabric at Walmart unless you can read a tape measure.
Yeah, but you can be a cashier at Walmart. That's different. You normally don't get regular people. You get people who are basically seamstresses or who sew working in the fabric department. But the fact is, you're making it seem like every job. So let me make this correct. Every job that requires some type of building skill.
Okay, Diva.
You need to learn how to read a tape measurement.
Okay,
but do you
Diva.
Not understand that in elementary middle school, high school, they teach you the basics of measurement. You build off that. I never learned how to use a tape measure in school, but I know how to use a tape measure because I have basic skills in measurement.
Did you learn how to use a rule?
Did you learn how to use a rule? That's a tape measure.
A tape measure is just many rules rolled up in a little box.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, and they don't teach that anymore, Diva. Allison?
Yes, they do.
Did they teach you how to use a ruler?
The only class in which I've ever used.
Go ahead, Allison.
The only class in which I've ever used a ruler is in geometry class this year.
And what grade are you in?
I'm going on 10th grade, and I'm in the advanced classes, so.
Most kids can't tell you which direction north is.
What school district are you in? What school district are you in, Allison?
I have completed 9th grade. I'm going on 10th grade.
What school district, Allison?
Fairless.
Where is that at?
It's around Maslin, Navarre area.
Okay. And you're saying that you never learned how to use a ruler in elementary.
Hey, Stick.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
In centimeters in elementary school.
Here we go. You can't buy a refrigerator, a stove, a freaking chair, a mirror for your bathroom wall if you don't know how to run a tape measure. They don't teach you any of these things because they don't really want you to know too much anything. They want standardized everything. They want you to be standardized. That's the goal of government.
Okay, okay, hold on.
Government is about – can I make my last statement?
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Government is about control. It is not about providing a good thing. That's why the forefathers put into the Constitution very limited – power for the government, which they have totally, totally overrun in the past 30 years.
Go ahead, Matt, your turn.
Okay, I would just like to say this. I guess it's all conjecture to say, have you learned in school how to use a tape measure or not if you're in Common Core? Let's just pretend that that's up for conjecture. Here's what was said by Chad when he was asked this question. He said, not everybody's going to go into a workforce where they need to learn how to use a tape measure. That's what he said. Okay, so whether it's being taught or not, the expert who was brought onto the show basically addressed the question to him that way. So my question to him would be, well, if that's the way you're going to answer that, not everyone's going to enter the workforce needing those skills, then why do we need to learn the skills to become, contractors or these other skills with higher mathematics or reading skills that they're pushing? That's my question.
And I agree with that. I agree with that wholeheartedly. You know, the schools need to teach a minimum set of standards that allow you to function in society. And anything above that is on you. Yeah, go ahead, Eric.
Hey, Six. Direction of school anymore, like north, south, east, and west? Because I tell you what, if you always know what north direction is, you'll never get lost in your life.
That's the way to sunrise. Allison,
they got GPS
maps and hold on, Bianchi. Allison, do they teach maps? And I mean, we have a resident expert in the studio with us, so go ahead, Allison.
They taught minimal maps and cartography and such. That was back in 7th grade. I had learned that sun rises in the east, sets in the west for my parents. I could do that whenever I was 7 years old. I could always find northeast corner of the building. I learned that from my parents, not from school.
I can tell you that 5th grade that my kids are in with Common Core, they are teaching math skills. It's not exactly in-depth, but they are teaching math skills.
Come on, hold on. Who just called my name?
Michigan.
Go ahead, Michigan.
Yeah, is Jeff still on the phone?
What? Go ahead.
Is Jeff still on the line?
I'm still here.
Okay. Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with Jeff about the government control, but to me the one thing that's missing is the government is acting as a free market capitalist.
which even if you remove the government, the private sector, and particularly those who have an interest or business value in education, you will still end up with the same result. Any private industry, they organize, and their private interests, they organize themselves to standardize markets, close markets, to control markets. So this thing that you're saying that this quote-unquote government is doing, which is nothing but a public interest group, you would have the same result in the private sector. Now, all history shows that that would be the case, so what would be the difference?
Joy Sticks.
Yeah, my question to you, Michigan, would be, isn't a government of the people, by the people, and for the people supposed to protect us from corporate interests? Aren't we supposed to elect representatives that are going to protect the individual from those who would create systems to stop the individual from achieving his potential?
Okay, so Sticks, you're absolutely right. So what you're talking about is the morality and the intent of individuals, not the morality and the intent of government. You're talking about you have individuals who are operating in the government sector as free market capitalists, not the government itself. The government wants to do what the government. The government is made up of individuals with intentions and are working for interest groups. So the government is not the monster. It's the individuals who are operating in the government sector.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Bianchi.
And Michigan Man, what the government is doing is using public money to influence, and not only influence, but to threaten. You know, the most profound thing I've heard in all this discussion, it may not be the most profound, but it's one of the most profound, is one gentleman came on, and he mentioned that all these other countries that's ahead of the United States in math and science and so forth do not use Common Core. So what's their excuse?
But they have developed a set of standards to where, when you look at China, for instance, they have developed a set of standards already that all their students learn and follow. So none of their students are I know this and I know that. All their students know the same thing. And their
Say something. I've been trying to interject something for a long time. I wanted to get in. Nobody really let me.
Go ahead. Everybody stop. Hold on. Alabama, is that you?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The point I was trying to make was that we need to be careful about saying what a person doesn't need at a certain age, because you got people that will go out and get these liberal arts degrees. They're not going to get a job. You get a psychology degree or some, you know, an early elementary education, and you get $30,000, $40,000. You don't want to do that. Now you sit in a certain track, and you have to – let me finish my point. And you have to get in debt. So having a broad level of different aspects, be it measurements or anything, will allow a person to be able to go out later on and jump into another career track and pursue something that they want to pursue.
I'm coming up on a break. I'll bring you up when we come back, Alan.
Hey, shut it down, Steve.
Hey, you know what's funny? I just got to say this really quick. Alabama, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Alabama, what you just said is so true. My neighbor's daughter just graduated from 4 years in college. She got a social justice degree with a minor in liberal arts, and she can't find nothing.
Hey, you know why, Matt? The government has hired so many of them, they don't have no more spots for them.
You're going to make money if you're dealing with math and science. If you're not, you're messing up.
Let me add something here.
Hey, Jeff. One quick thing. You know, the other variable, since the government is operating as a free market capitalist organization, if you look at the overall test scores and the education scores, now, you know, I always say this,
with this being a white society, the only thing that brings the numbers down so much as it relates to education is the ghettos and the very poor communities. If you were to take out that variable, just take that variable out of the education system, the white suburban and white public and white private schools are very comparable in what they're learning to the rest of the world. Now, they may not be on top of the world, but they're very comparable in the engineering, math, and science of that nature.
Absolutely the truth.
That is correct.
Okay. All right. Okay. So now, having said that, Jeff, one brother said, and it is very key, every 2 years here comes this new approach. And then after those 2 years, there's a new approach. These are free market capitalists who are operating in the educational field who are trying to get at that market of poor people and things of that nature.
It's not free market capitalism, Michigan.
And trying to get at those public dollars with these new approaches.
And I agree with you on that, Michigan.
Michigan.
Norham is doing it.
I agree with you. Michigan, what they're doing is using the government to get it interjected in. I don't call that capitalist. I call that corporatist.
He's talking about the practice.
Yeah, they're using the government to beat their competition. There's no competition. There is no competition. It's just them and nobody else.
I call it a globalist.
It's the money. It's the money that's coming from the Department of Education that's filtering through the school districts, that's going to these companies that's selling these tests, that's selling all the material that support Common Core. That's an age-old practice. Yes, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, but I agree. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying they're doing it. I'm just saying what it's called. Calling it free market. Go ahead, man.
Jeff. This is the other thing that nobody's taking into consideration. In the rest of the world, the United States is the only, just about the only one, there's only a few other countries that educate everybody instead of just some people. China does not educate everybody along the same track, and whatever track you're going to hear being issued in some kind of a world level is not going to be the normal track. Now, everybody doesn't get educated. In those countries.
I said this a long time ago. In Japan, you go to the eighth grade. You take a test and in the eighth grade to determine if you're going to go to high school or not. If you don't make it to high school, you don't go to college. They go to school there all year round.
The same thing is going to happen here to America, too.
They got you.
But they have set a standard for their at the level of acceleration that they are at.
Right, hold up, guys.
Okay, guys, we're back on the air. Hold up.
Sorry, brother.
All right, Alabama, come on back in.
No, I was saying I agree with Michigan in what's
Safe
being
Auto
done.
Auto
I was
there to help you online or through their mobile app with the right car insurance at the right price wherever and whenever you need it.
All right, guys.
Need your car whenever you need your car. Life doesn't stop. Safe Auto gets it. Click, call, and enjoy the road ahead. Big data.
So glad we left that stupid party.
Click on it and cut it off.
I think the American...
Hey, we're back.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon, the show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Okay, guys, we've got like 4 minutes left. My clock's all fouled up here. I apologize for any confusion that it might have created. Okay, Alabama, you are the next guy up.
Yeah, all I was saying was that I agree with what Michigan's saying as far as, and I think nobody's disagreeing with anybody today about how it works. Just like in military, one company gets the spigot turned on in their favor from the government and siphon all and screw the consumer. The consumer, which is the student in this situation, is getting screwed over. And so I agree. It's just a different way of looking at it. I don't call it capitalism. That's not capitalism. It's not being, people aren't really, we don't have a bunch of choices. We just got one choice, unless you're willing to go out and pay privately, which I think that's what I'm for.
Well, it's fascism. It's exactly what it is. It's fascism. I mean, we didn't even get into the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the fact that Microsoft stands to make trillions of dollars off of this, and the whole cabal between the private foundations and the charitable trusts and the money that's going to be made off of this, which I might add goes right back to the Rockefellers and the Vanderbilts and all of those folks. I mean, they designed this system that we're living under, and yet we won't admit that they are there, and it's still being used against us.
These dudes are in medicine. They're in everything. They're in banking. These people, when you say Rockefellers, these families, that's really the problem. When you look at Common Core, that's why I'm not so trusting. And it amazes me that Diva knows this stuff but still is pushing for it, knowing that that's who it's coming from.
Go ahead, Jeff. Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, the one I was going to say in Alabama, and you're correct, and so is doggone my man Michigan, man, is perfectly in on that as far as I'm concerned. But I'll say this. We don't believe that there are a group of people called the progressives that are put together by those groups of people you just mentioned that have worldwide dominance in mind, and the people cannot be free for that to happen because those five families cannot curtail the whole of the world unless they control the thinking of the rest of the world. Henry Kissinger said, control the oil, you control the economy, control the food, you control the people. They will control food within 5 years. You will watch it. That's why that's what they're doing. And when you look at this HAARP stuff, it just could be, the weather patterns, it could just be HAARP.
Well, what this appears to me to be is exactly what Rockefeller laid out with his charitable trusts, and Ford wanted the same thing, and that was to create a very technologically savvy worker that was absolutely ignorant about money, so you could keep them in bondage.
Okay.
And it's the end of our day, and you guys have a wonderful day and have a good day.
Good job, Nick.
I have a question, because Mr. Man said something very pertinent that none of us disagreed with. The variable here is the inner city schools, the poorest school districts that are basically dragging down the numbers, because here in Franklin County, the Columbus City School District, they're usually always ranked at an F. Last year, we're just now implementing Common Core within the last 2 years. So they haven't tested for that. They've been testing on the old standardized testing scores. Last year, Columbus School District, their third graders that could read at a – their people, students that read at third grade level was at 30%. Here in Licking County and here in Licking Heights and the surrounding suburban districts, it's in the 90s. So how do we fix that discrepancy?
You get the doggone unions out of education because that's who's screwing you in the inner city schools, and they're doing it in conjunction with people that want control of you.
Here in Licking Heights is the same union that they have in Franklin County.
But how many black people you got in Licking County? See, I went look at Worthington. You got a considerable amount of blacks in there, not a lot. But you have a
I'm not in Licking County. I'm in Franklin County. The school district I'm in is a different school.
Okay, Diva, I understand. I know the area well. Look. I just gave Worthington schools. Are they not number one in the state? Worthington.
They're number one. But Worthington
number one in the state. Why?
Franklin County and Worthington has the same union that Columbus City has.
Yeah, it doesn't matter because the unions aren't trying to hurt those people. But they are trying to control the ones in here. Listen, they raise black people to vote Democrat. Hear me.
Okay.
That's all it is.
I'm confused, Jeff. Hold on, Jeff. Let's stay on the subject. Now, you're saying that the problem that Columbus City Schools is facing, that only 30% of their students were at a third grade reading level was because of the union. But frankly,
let me ask this question.
All the same union.
Let me ask this question.
Oh, God.
Ask this question.
But they're under the same union.
I got a very simple question to ask. This is a very simple question. Why come all black schools cannot mimic the same curriculum that the successful black schools use? If you want all schools to use Common Core, we want all schools to use Common Core, then why come the black schools cannot use the same method that the successful, highly academic black schools, all black schools use?
Okay, can I answer
why
that question? Because demographically, demographically, if these people that design the medical system and things like that, they want to give you one product, it's going to screw the cheap. Please believe black people are going to get screwed over first. Please don't ever expect that everybody's going to get the same and get the same treatment. When have black people ever got fair treatment in this country? You're not going to get that. So if they go to one system, it's going to be some kind of way where you're going to get the short end of the stick, guaranteed.
I'm just trying to figure out. Let's get past all of that.
Let Michigan man go, Diva.
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
yeah. Go ahead.
Bianchi, if you look at the successful black, I don't know that there's many successful predominantly black public schools, but I know there's a lot of charter and private. There's certain variables that are common in those successful schools. I'll tell you what one of them is the damn teachers look like the kids. That's one.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Would you agree?
That makes a difference, too.
All right. And the other one is, we had some bad kids, and what they did was they kicked them all out and put them in a trailer. And they asked for the community to offer suggestions on how to get these kids on the right track very quickly. What the superintendent did, he did a couple things. He said, one, he came and got the black businessmen. He went and got some grandmothers, and he went and got some other nonprofits within the community. They said, here, y'all take this class and make it successful. Every student graduated. In some cases, a couple of the brothers in there who were getting F's in math scored the highest on the standardized test. It has something to do with the relationship between the community, the people, and those kids, and what those people felt about those kids, and what those kids thought those people felt about them. That's all that is. The local control, putting those grandmothers in the schools, putting those black businessmen in the schools, made the difference. All right. This is not rocket science, see? But when you say that, the first people who want to just hold hands with everybody, oh, man, there you go with that race talk. You don't see black teachers educating white kids. Prove it.
Well, not very often. You're right.
Not very often.
Let's tell the truth.
Yeah.
Let's tell the truth.
But see, not too many black teachers get far enough along the educational track to become teachers either. And they'll go teaching that suburban school because the pay is going to be higher. And, and that's going to be the thing. We spend more money on the inner city schools, but we get less return. And it's because of the policies that we get on those schools, because when you're not allowed to discipline people whose parents are social and economically disadvantaged, you can't discipline them. Well, guess what? They're not going to sit back and learn because they don't have to. You have to force the situation one way or another, either by force or by coercion, by you putting people in places where they have to come up. You're right, Michigan. That black child probably scored higher because black people are not stupid, and that's what they want you to think. That's why they make the emphasis. Wait a minute, Diva. That's why they make the emphasis they do on the inner city schools, because they want you to think that black people are stupid. And it ain't so by any means.
But those kids aren't stupid.
Why won't they just open up the enrollment to where it doesn't matter where you live? Because
they don't want that problem
you
in their
send
school.
Send your child to a better... Okay, so we get to the point. So it's not about choice, because their choice is, oh, we don't want you in our school district, but we want you to start charter schools that probably aren't up to par anyway.
Let me tell you why, real quick. The unions, by reason of the United States government deals that they make, have said you cannot discipline a certain way. And when you stop disciplining a child that is very aggressive, African-American people are aggressive people, really. But we've been turned into very, very model coddly type of people in this country. We only get angry when somebody gets us pissed off because they're going to take our rights somewhere. Then we run out and vote for the wrong damn people. But other than that, we're really aggressive people. But when you channel that aggression back on that person, it destroys them. That's why we have the drug use. That's why we have the alcoholism. That's why we have the crime that we have.
Again, it's not getting to the heart of the problem we're having in education in inner city schools. The fact
it's a big part of it.
Can you let me finish? Our children, I have not been talking. I have not.
But go ahead and talk, Viva.
You know what? Forget.
Go ahead, tell.
Our children have been corralled into these poor education systems in inner city. They are not allowed to branch out unless the parent has the funds to move out of that district. My suggestion is, why, if you have a child who is capable of learning, who can do well, but in the school district they're not going anywhere, why is it that you cannot send your child to a different school district?
Can I answer
why
that?
Why do they not, in a white suburban school district, they do not want our black children in their school?
Can I
those
answer that?
Those installers that were in an inner city school can follow that child to that suburban school, but yet they don't
let
that to happen. Why?
One reason is because when you send children to different school districts, you're taking up seats and spaces, and if that's allowed to continue, and I'm not just talking one or two kids, eventually you'll have an influx of children coming into one area, and the people whose children that is aren't responsible for the extra amount of taxes that are going to be held for extra books, extra classroom building, extra building keep up or rebuilding of different buildings if the populace of children get too much. You're increasing taxes on one area when the other area is getting away free. So that's one reason
no,
to open enrollment. Idea, Diva, and I agree with it.
If the taxes follow that student from one school district to another, how is it going to become a burden on your school district?
Well, that's like vouchers. I have proposed that also. But here's the thing here. To say that all black school districts cannot perform, as a matter of fact, they can outperform white school districts. I have witnessed this with my own eyes. The problem is like Jeff said, the unions. The problem is that for some reason or another, black communities don't control their schools the way white communities control their schools. That is the problem.
Hello?
Okay, I get what you guys are saying, but the fact of the matter is, until the issue is solved, until they figure out how to act together,
okay,
how is it that they do not allow for open comment?
Let me say this. The other thing, you can hear it in Diva's voice, the naiveness. Whenever you're talking about a social society, you may learn something, but another person may not. In this sense, Diva, what makes you think those white families want those black kids in their district?
I'm not naive. That's the point I'm getting at. But you have people
who
want to.
Do you want them to come out and say that? Do you want them to come out and say that to you?
No, because the fact is, every time you say something like that, oh, you're pulling the race card. Oh, you make everything about race. So it's about asking certain questions in a certain way to make them realize, oh, okay, wait a minute. Yes, there is, make them think within themselves, well, yeah, we really don't want you here because of your skin color.
Somebody bring it in their phone.
Jesus, yeah. Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Well, let's, you know, what, I mean, you have enough history in a multitude of areas where they're saying just that to you. What are we missing?
It's not us not getting it. It's getting them to admit it. That's
Listen,
the problem.
Right. The whole
you
idea.
Got, you got
the
people.
The whole answer to this question is very simple. It's not to bring the top school districts down so that everybody is equal. The idea, and I think everyone would agree with this, the best is how to bring all of the school districts that aren't doing so well up. That's the best way to go. The question is, how do we get there? And Common Core is not the way, because Common Core allows those top districts to come down, so everybody's on the same level at a lower level.
Right.
From the schoolwork these kids are bringing home, I'm sorry, I didn't see that. It's much. It's
well,
much
I mean, you don't see it, Diva, because you don't understand that. I'm trying to say.
Diva's
those
right,
of us
though.
Have,
I'm like, hold on.
Diva's
those
right
of us, wait, sweetie, wait. I'm not, that's you not meant to be a slight to you.
Along ideological line, because if
no,
you want to
Republican, you're going to tell me what I think.
Like
well, no, I'll tell you
what
you do. I don't tell you what you think.
Okay.
I see. I know
Whatever.
What you think because you always say the same things. But my point is
Whatever.
This. You're not understanding what we're saying. She said a very key thing. We don't control our own school districts. Why don't we control our own school district? Because we trust other people to do our work for us. Because we
well,
think
let me,
that's...
Let me say
how
this, Jeff.
How do you control your
own school? The reason you don't control your own schools is one, because again, it's individuals operating with a free market capitalist society. And I've said this a million times. I'm gonna say it again. The purpose of public education in the black community is to create white middle class jobs. If you want to dismantle unions, make it not necessary to have a certain amount of education to be a public school teacher, and make sure that make it mandatory that the teachers look like the children. You will see all those unions want to do away with public education at that particular time.
Well, you know
what? With it. It's because
they're going to show you what Michigan Man just said.
When they get rid of tenure, like they're about to do in California.
That's good. They need to get rid of tenure. And you know the
right.
thing that Michigan Man is true, in Milwaukee, when they had this issue about school choice and charter schools, the teachers' unions said that a school building, even though that building has 100% black children and is in 100% black neighborhood, can only have black representation as black representation is in the state of Wisconsin.
You see what I'm saying?
I mean,
this is listen.
I'm telling you the truth.
That,
it is. If black in the state of Wisconsin make up 10% of the population, then only 10% of the teachers in that 100% black school in that 100% black neighborhood can only be 10%.
Well,
now, y'all think
I'm
lying, I prove
it. You're going to have a hard time because you don't have that many black teachers.
That's
and
not
that's
true,
the problem.
That's not true, Jeff. That's not true.
That's
and here's
not true
the other thing, Jeff.
Well, in Michigan, where you got millions, but not here in Youngstown, where we only have something like 80,000.
Yeah, but in those schools,
well,
Jeff,
happened,
you
yeah.
would have had 90%
yeah,
white teachers and 10% black. And even though all
even
the students
happened,
are black,
Jeff,
and the community is black.
If once that hit the scene, that there was an industry and a need for black teachers, you would even have your universities, you would even have other organizations driving blacks to fill those positions. So it wouldn't take long to make that happen. But listen, this is about social engineering, and it's a formula to it. The public schools in the black community is about one thing, and that's creating white middle-class jobs. Do you know how much money flows into, that's right, do you know how much money flows into the white communities from the public school systems in the black community? Not just the teachers, the food service providers, the textbook developers, the janitorial contracts, the insurance, the counselors. Come on,
the bonding. The bonding and so on and so on and so on. It's a
money-making
venture.
That's right. All this money goes into the white community. That's why they're not going to dismantle it. And you're correct. Unions know. You can't dismantle this.
Okay, but I hear all the problems, but how do you get to a solution? What is the solution? And
you get to
just
a solution by letting parents decide where they have send their own children. Then you would have more Marvel collars and more black schools that's successful. Organizations that have been doing a successful job producing excellency, propping up where parents can pay to send their children to these organizations. These folks cannot
okay,
run these organizations and be on welfare.
Here's the problem that I have with the argument of school choice. Because when school choice was offered and implemented in Youngstown, all they gave us was charter schools. Charter schools that operated at the same level as the public schools
That's not full choice.
Listen, I'll give you a suggestion.
But white districts don't want our kids.
Do you remember?
I don't blame them.
A couple years ago, you remember a couple years ago when the Chicago schools was on strike, and the school didn't start on time. All right, now let me tell you what started happening. Now check this out: the pastors in the community, because the kids didn't have anywhere to go, they started using their buses and their facilities, at least just to house the kids until things got better. Now, what would have happened if they'd have stayed on strike a little bit longer? You know what those blacks would have started doing? Say, hey, we're going to tap into this education industry. We got the buildings. We got the buses. We've got the people. We're right here in the neighborhoods. And it wasn't but a couple weeks later when that strike came to an end. So you said, what are the suggestions? One, to me, you can close the public education system down. Let me tell you what that would do. It would force blacks to unify and to do something with those kids in the neighborhood, which is what they need to do in the first damn place.
Like what?
What do you mean? I said you can close them down.
So you're saying get rid of the Department of Education?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I agree with that.
Department of Education.
So we get rid of the Department of Education, then what?
You don't need no Department of Education.
It's going to force those black communities to take responsibility for those children. You got a damn church on every corner. The lights are on. They got the buildings. They got kitchens in them. It's going to force those communities to make some decisions and do something for those kids.
That's exactly the reason why we should accept our schools as being bad schools, and we got to get them out of the black schools and get them into white schools. I'm sick of that mindset.
Diva never did see trade schools. You never did experience trade schools.
We should really be ashamed of ourselves that we just accept our schools as being bad.
Go ahead,
I'm trying to see how that will work in a district like Youngstown.
Well, you need the education department gone because
I'm not knocking it. I'm just trying to say
let Jeff speak. You keep cutting him off. Let him speak.
No, I'm not done.
You need your
local community to control your system, and that's what happens in the suburb schools. See, just like you have Boardman, and you're familiar with our Boardman, is the biggest suburb of Youngstown, okay? And it's very, economically flush with cash, pretty much, and even though a few years ago they were about dying until somebody died. But these people leave money to their school systems and things
correct.
Like Youngstown Grand used to do. They leave money, and so they have all the tools that is necessary to get things done, whereas an inner-city school where you get the government money and it follows that child, but they don't have those extra things to help educate. And not only that, think about this, Aviva, right in Youngstown, when you had that money for Race to the Top funds come through from President Obama, he brought those funds in here. The freaking union said no.
Well,
and
you know
said,
what, Jeff?
We're not going to have them accountable. Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
I just want to say that you're taking in, you know, assuming that school districts like myself, which is a suburb school district, assuming that they're not corrupt, it's actually helping the children. There's so much corruption in my school board right now where people,
yeah.
and it is, you know, it's the capitalistic ideal where they're using their position to get ahead in their career and get ahead in their money. I've got a superintendent that is so corrupt it's ridiculous, and we have proven it time and time again, hired lawyers, and it's still going through the system. So there's also an element of corruption we got to deal with as well.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Youngstown makes a lot of money.
Warren City schools can't keep a superintendent.
They're taking money. They're hiring people to do work in the school, some of the board members in Youngstown getting kickbacks.
Another key factor, Diva. When you close the public education school system, now some of those black mothers who are sitting at home on their ass watching TV. Have to do something with those kids now. I'm not saying all. See, it forces you to take responsibility. It forces you to be creative. It forces you to unify. You see? And that's exactly what it would do. That would be the best thing for the black community. Close it down.
You know how charter schools are supposed to be used? Charter schools give you the opportunity to have something specific in your school. If you want to teach biomedical, if you want to teach a computer science, if you want to teach programming, you should be able to, you can do that, along with the other core curriculum classes that has to meet state minimum standard. But we don't use charter schools the way they're supposed to be used. We leave it up to somebody else to come in and try to duplicate what's already going on in a failed traditional building, and that's for they don't work. We have a construction training school here where children can go to that charter school, and they can learn plumbing, carpentry, welding, sheet metal, or whatever, from 12 o'clock on. But in the morning, they attend classes where they learn reading, math, arithmetic, and science. That's the way it's just like the old trade schools used to be.
Youngstown City Schools have that. They had that at least since I was in high school. When you went to school half a day.
No, I worked in a school, Diva, just a few years ago. No, I taught building trade, home remodeling, building maintenance, all of that stuff. No, it's not anywhere near a program that's good enough or big enough. That's the problem.
You know, with the charter school issue, I think there's three companies, white corporate companies, that own 95% of all of the charter schools that are chartered inside of black communities. So you still have the same result as it relates to that. Again,
absolutely. I agree with you. Beacon, Edison, and Imagine.
Okay. All right. So now watch this. Bianchi on the point there. Let's say if there was a law passed to say, hey, in order to do a charter school, one, the corporate structure must be set up in the community, or two, the board members of the corporate structure must be out of that community, or three, the actual teachers and the food service providers must be out of that community, then you'll see the white corporate structure say, the hell with charter schools, they ain't working.
Like what they say about being a mayor of a community or of a police chief of a community, they're saying the same thing. Really quick, guys,
that's exactly what would happen.
I got to get going, so I'll talk to all of you later. Diva, I'm gonna post that archive show on Jeff's page.
Yeah.
That's why we don't need to get rid of our guns.
That's right. Please. I ain't getting rid of no guns. In fact, I'm trying to find a way to get more.
Uh-huh. I am not knocking anything that you guys are saying about education. I'm just trying to, in my head, from my recent education of not so many years ago, how that would be implemented in towns like Youngstown, how that would work, where corruption is rampant with the people, with even the very people who live in the community are turning out.
Well, I can only say one thing. It is a crying shame the way black society let their kids be treated in these schools. If there is a heaven, Jeff, and I tell you what, Jeff, when you get to heaven, you're going to probably be the only one there, you and your sister and your mother. Because black folks is not going to get to heaven the way they have let their children fall by the wayside for all these decades, man. It is just pitiful.
Well,
yeah, you're right, Bianchi. You're right. And to me, you have to force, blacks need to be forced into a position where they take responsibility. And again, one of the ways to do that is to shut the public school system down.
They got to do something because it's destroying us more than it's helping us. And,
I get what you're saying, but I'm having a hard time because in my senior year, 1997, when I started my senior in high school, the teachers went on strike. And they were on strike for a while. Nothing was done within the community to make sure that we were getting educated.
You couldn't do nothing
except
about that.
Well, I mean, but in Chicago, they were doing stuff. They were making sure that their children were not just sitting around being at home and whatever. The fact is, well, my mother said she went to school because schools were still open, so the principal had to be there, the administrator still had to be there. So they, you know, they showed us moving and stuff like that. But the fact is, what do you do in small communities where the community really does not care?
Well, I'll tell you what, once those black kids start clucking those parents upside the head and snatching pocketbooks and fighting in the middle of the street and stealing and breaking in houses, they'll put something together. You can believe that.
That's always been the case. But
and you know another point.
It would get worse. It would get worse.
Education in the United States is really jacked anyway because look at the student loans that these kids are carrying nowadays. Ain't that just crazy? Some of these kids come. I was listening to the radio and one lady had like over $250,000 or $280,000 in student loans and didn't even have a job in what she majored. That's crazy.
But isn't that free money for you? These colleges are allowed to start tuition at the rate that they, whatever they want.
Well, that's because the professor's charge. That's the professor's good tenure getting paid. God knows how much money every year. That's why.
That money ain't just going to professors. Because only the top tenured professors are the ones that are really getting paid. And it's not that many tenured professors.
Now, I've seen a new program they're coming up with called Flip Cat Classrooms, which seems to me like it may be a good thing. Whereas now you got professors that stand in front of a class and lecture. Flip classroom is where that you do the homework in the classroom and you do the classroom work at home. In other words, you can download the lecture, view the lecture at your leisure, answer the questions, then go back to the classroom and discuss, you know, the questions.
And they want you to pay for this. Ridiculous amounts of money.
Right.
I think flip classrooms may be something different.
Then you wonder why we don't have that many black teachers, because coming from inner city schools, you want to go to college. When you look at the numbers, it's not like, it's highly unlikely. Now they made it easy for you to get a student loan, but then when you think about it, well, man, am I going to have a job when I come out to pay for that loan? So, I mean, because when I was in high school, yeah, a lot of people wanted to go to college, but it was like looking at the price. It just was not feasible. And if you weren't smart enough, if your test scores show you were smart enough to get some type of scholarship,
your test scores are reflective of the failure in the earlier years.
I still think,
Diva, that blacks as a society should take large numbers of their children and direct them into certain fields, like STEM fields. Direct them into engineering, medical, and so on and so on. So their numbers increase. If their numbers increase, their household income is going to increase, and so on and so on and so on.
You cannot direct somebody into something that's not their passion, because if it is not their passion,
it doesn't.
Go so
if
far.
If they have the skills and they have the necessary aptitude, whereas they can go through those programs, they need to be directed through those programs. The heck with that.
But
you know, like that lady talked about the.
Going to the program is one thing. Doing the actual work, the job, is another.
Then that's when blacks need to have their own more business. Like that one lady said that girl went to school to be in what, criminal justice, and had a liberal arts degree, and she
social
can't find
justice.
A damn job.
Wait a minute, social justice. He said social justice.
Social justice.
He's trying to figure out social
why would you send your kid to school?
Right.
Why would you send your kid to school in social justice? My goodness, come on now.
Everyone
we always complain
social,
about we ain't being treated
social,
right.
Hey,
you're absolutely right, man. With the condition of our community, it is going to take some specific social engineer. You're absolutely right, man. I would say not half of them, Bianchi. All of them need to be pushed toward the sciences and engineering. That's exactly what needs
my
to happen.
My grandson wanted to be a civil engineer. I said, you ain't being no civil engineer, because civil engineers depend on governments for jobs. Heck no, you're not doing that. Wanted to be an architect. I said, nope, you ain't being an architect. Because I know those fields firsthand. They are not well-paying fields, and their probability in the future is very, very negligible.
But if you're going into something just for the pay, how long are you really going to stay in it? Are you going to enjoy it? Are you going to be passionate about it? Are you
how many
really
people?
Want
how many people work at Walmart because they want to?
Walmart is different. Going into a career is completely different. Walmart.
If the
work at Walmart,
if the career,
you
if the career,
career
is paying money, Diva. If the career is paying exceptional money,
okay, so
heck with it.
So that's why we.
I understand what you're saying, but that's the way
I
directed my kids, my children.
So that's why we have horrible teachers. That's why we have horrible doctors, because people are not passionate about the careers that they're choosing. They're just going in it for maybe the money. That's
so
why
how
we
do you
get
deal
horrible
with that?
People.
How do you deal with that?
You have to – how I teach my daughter – I know my daughter. My daughter is more liberally art. She's very artsy, very creative. I want her to be a doctor. I want her to be a lawyer. I want to live vicariously through her. I wanted to be a lawyer myself, so I figured my daughter would be one. But I know that is not her passion. That is not something that she can sit up there and logically argue a case and read it in front of a judge. That's not her passion. I will not push her into that. I will not push her into an engineer field. That's not something she'll do. That's not something she's showing that she's passionate about. So when I'm showing, okay, you're going to get into the arts. That's something you have to know. We're going to figure out how which arts program you get into that you can excel after you leave school.
Well, see, two things, Diva. One, I think the community can determine and make sure that the children are passionate. One of the things that if you connect what these children are learning with the development of their communities, I think that's one thing that will make them passionate about it. In other words,
absolutely.
Not only do they have a career, but they also have an opportunity to rebuild their communities. That alone will give them passion.
Yes.
The second thing is, even if you push all of the children toward those areas, of course all of them won't go into that. So you're pushing all of them so that you can get a certain number of them to actually achieve that. So, you know, it's just about social engineering. We don't have the luxury, Diva, of saying, do what you will, and we'll let the outcome be what it will. The black community is not in that position. See, in other words, we're trying to educate our children as if we have a functioning black society, like whites do. Whites can go into any field, because any field, they have a functioning society, and it's something needed there. But we don't have an infrastructure.
So you're saying that blacks can't function?
So, it's not about just your
daughter. It's about the whole community.
What'd you say, Diva?
So basically, we can only function if we all operate like robots. So we can only.
No, you have to operate by robots. You suppose, like Michigan Man said.
But that's what it sounds.
Well, look at the jobs that's in your own community that people drive miles and miles and miles to from their own community where the jobs are saturated to come into your community. That's totally crazy. And your kids is in jail committing crimes and so on, so on, so on. Why you got all these foreigners? Look at all the jobs that the foreigners, these high-paying jobs. That's another question. These foreigners come into this country. You don't see them working on trash trucks. You don't see them driving ambulances. They in the biomedical. They in the science. They in the engineering.
They're driving cabs and operating their own grocery stores. That's what you see in the inner city. When you see a foreigner in the inner city, you see them starting their own cab services, their transportation services, or their grocery stores, or their
compared to doctors, pediatricians, how many pediatricians compared to cab services and grocery stores are there? You're going to have way more pediatricians.
I know more foreign cab drivers in Columbus than I know there are.
And I don't ride no cab. How many people ride in cabs? Come on. These foreigners that come into this country.
You're talking about low-level service entry jobs, which, again, they come into play when you have a society. These foreigners are just filling in where blacks have left holes. That's why you see them on in the grocery stores and liquor stores. When you're trying to build a society, you don't start with who's going to make up the beds at the hotels. You start with who's got the engineering degrees so we can have hotels.
And who's going to be wiping booties in the old folk homes?
What type of jobs are you guys talking about in the inner city? Because the only time I lived in the inner city was Youngstown. It's a very small town. So what type of jobs, high-paying jobs, are you talking about that we need to be...
Okay, now here's where the Pan-Africanist Act goes. Justin on the phone?
The what?
I think Justin on the phone.
Okay, Diva. The actual infrastructure and the society development jobs that are needed are actually not here in America.
Okay, what jobs
are
they?
Now, this is where I know you're going to say that when I'm going real off in that field. Most of the engineering and what's coming ahead and building societies and cities and societies is actually not even here in America.
Okay, where are they? And what type of jobs are they?
It's going to be in all of those brother republics. All over the continent of Africa, Haiti, the islands, Jamaica. Now, you say, this is what the world is doing. We got to stop acting like children. These races and ethnic groups educate their children, and they go out into the world, wherever the opportunity is. We're pretty much done here. I don't see why we don't see that.
And that's why their communities are still looking like third-world countries, basically. So you're saying on one hand, we need to send our children out to gain skills, and then they gain them skills, and then they come back and build up the community, but now you're saying send them out into the world. I'm confused.
No. Okay, listen. See, the black societies, I've already told you, that no two cultures can operate in the same space at the same time. What we're calling this thing called the black community in America is no more, for the most part. All we can do is try to maintain some level of a decent type of lifestyle. These things are gone here. You know, somebody said, oh, they're not going. Prove to me where you see, what scenario you see where they're coming back. What scenario do you see where blacks will ever control any type of industry in America? Which one? Name the industry. Hello?
I'm sorry. Say it again.
I said, give me any area in America where there's potential or you see some type of the light at the end of the tunnel where blacks will be able to control some type of industry or something here in America. What is it?
Can't name none. Well, fellas, it's almost 12 here, top of the hour. I'm going to get out of here. Enjoy the conversation. Maybe we'll talk it later on.
All right.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
I know everybody thinks that I'm young and I'm naive, but my thing is, I just want a solution. I think that's what most black people who think like me, who are like me, we're tired of hearing, well, this is the problem, this is the problem. We want to know what's the solution, how to fix it, what's the plan that's needed to implement and fix it. But yet no one is really telling us that. No one is giving us that.
Well, yeah, I think that's correct, too. But I think one of those reasons, because the approach that may need to be taken, I don't think blacks are ready to take it. You know what I mean? If blacks would just really have a comprehensive understanding of what has happened historically, everything that has been tried, I think that's the starting point. And put in the equation when they're trying to come up with solutions now. If we just did that, put everything that we've tried in the past and say this one thing, we're not going to try what we tried in the past. We're going to try something new. I think that's a starting point there. And it's frustrating because we keep trying the same shit over and over. Every 10, 15 years, we try the same approach. Or we need to get deep into the politics, right? Or we need to protest a little more.
Well, that's the problem, though, is that you guys are saying we need to let the local community, basically when it comes to education, we need to let the local community handle it. But when I look at the structure of Youngstown, the inner city, and I see how our prominent blacks, those who are considered leaders in that community, whether they're in a church, whether they're in a political office, how do you trust them when they allow for the community to get to the end now?
Listen. The reason for bringing those particular approaches up, it's actually nothing new, right? But if you ever look at black progress from a historical perspective, it's always been better or it's always been more profound when blacks control the surrounding areas. So to me, that's just a start, just to show you that you have to be in a place where you're in control. This is not a utopian society where anybody can be in control of neighborhoods and communities and everything turns out equal. So, like I said, this is a last-ditch approach. Just concentrate on controlling your children's education and what happens in your community. This is very – for us to even be talking about, we need to be controlling our own neighborhoods in 2014, that tells you right there, people, we got a problem. We should already know that. We're talking about we need to control our own kids' education in 2014.
True.
But I don't. Here's the thing that I don't get is that you said something that was very pertinent that was just glossed over. That everybody, all they want to do is come back to the politics of it. If you take out the variable that are dragging the rest of the school system down, which is the inner city or the poor districts, because there are some poor rural districts around here, too, that are doing poorly, where I live. All white, poor, but they're doing poorly. How do you get those school districts up to par with the rest of the school districts are doing well? What is it about those school districts that when you go and you look at the curriculum, look at how they're teaching, when those students branch out and try to come into other districts, they try to go to college, they try to get into the workforce, they can't make it like the schools that are doing well.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get those students at that same level?
Well, I think, you know, some of that, Diva, you know, is opportunity. Because you're in a white functioning society, a lot of the privileges that will be afforded to those white children once they graduate from college, I mean, they can walk right into industries just because of who they are. So when you don't have a black corporate structure, right, that can ramp these black children into professional jobs, you're going to have a problem because now you have a bottleneck. You have these industries who only have so many jobs, and you're saying the dilemma is, hey, we want some of these corporate jobs, but white corporate America said, well, we have to put our children in them first, and then if we have anything left over, we'll determine. You see? I mean.
Yeah.
You know they're going to feed their children first, huh?
Yeah, just getting to college. Like I said, I was the person at the beginning of the show that said I know a person graduated from DeRan High School, valedictorian. Got to college, got to Ohio State. Had to take remedial classes.
Yep.
How did that happen? How did she graduate valedictorian with a 4.0, get to college here in the state, and had to take some remedial classes?
Yeah.
I know two people that happened.
Yeah. Yeah, well, my son had to do the same thing, but, yeah, I think that has to do with I don't have a good answer for that one, but, maybe it has something to do with, black children not valuing the purpose of education.
It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact I had a teacher tell me this herself. When I transferred out of Yellowstone City School and put my daughter in Boardman, I had a teacher who told me this herself. She said Youngstown City Schools teach behind us at least 2 grade levels.
Okay, yeah.
The suburban schools, the schools that are performing well, their curriculum was really geared towards pushing those kids into college, higher learning, getting them prepared for college. And the inner city schools, the poor districts, they're geared to just getting them to the next grade level, which is a shame because I know some people say, well, we always want to push our kids to college. I don't see nothing wrong with college. Not everybody can work in the labor force. Not everybody can go into the skills and trades. I sure didn't. I'm sorry. I'm not one that likes to work with my hands.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not a male. I'm not a man. So I don't want to do carpentry work. I don't want to do welding. I don't want to do sheet metal. That's not me. That's not something I want for my daughter. So what's wrong with preparing our children for college? Because preparing them for college and then sending them off to trade school. I mean, I think if you get to a certain skill level, a certain educational level, you can basically learn to do any skill there is, any trade there is. It's rocket science. But you go into sheet welding, sheet metal, you're not going to learn how to mix chemicals to be a chemist. You need a different level of education. But at any level of education, you can go into the trade because those are learned skills. Those are not skills that you have to apply. Those are skills that you basically somebody teach you firsthand, like, hands-on learning, like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I can be a welder. It's just not something I want to do.
Yeah.
So why is it that I'm just trying to figure out the problem with, I see what your problem with Common Core is. Like you said, it's the money that's going to get involved in this, the capitalism.
Right.
The structure
right.
of capitalism that is involved with that. I get that. But the arguments that everyone else is having, it makes absolutely no sense to me. And these are the same people who didn't come from poor, undeserving school districts who are arguing against this.
Right.
So when you come from a poor, undeserving school district and you're looking at a kid across the way, you can't go to that school because they won't accept you. And you feel like you're stuck like Chuck. So, and you're a parent, and you're like, well, I want my daughter to have the same education that kid is getting. Why can't my daughter have the same education that kid is getting? Somebody had to come in and say, everybody got to get the same education. It was like, what was it? Separate but equal.
But let me show you something. When you're in a free market, capitalist, political society, there is no such thing as quality.
That's true.
And the same, it will never happen. at the root of a free market capitalist society is two things. One is fierce competition and the profit motive. And that stretches across all sectors, not just business. It's in school. It's in everything. Listen, if you look at the most prominent money-making things in this society, it mostly has to do with competition. Sports figures. You see what I'm saying? People don't look at that. Sports figures make more than doctors, more than engineers. Fierce competition, you know, and the profit motive, winning. So that's what I said. We don't have the luxury or the time to say, you guys said this is America, and we're supposed to be equal, and it's going to be a level playing field. We can't have that thinking, Dave. I think we're going to disarm our children if we have that thinking in the society that we're about making things equal. When the structures that make up the society, they're telling you that across the table when you're drinking coffee with them, but they know that's not possible. And it's never going to happen. There's no such thing as an equal education.
See, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying because you don't put it in the realm of ideology.
Right.
When I hear Jeff talk, all I hear is his ideology coming out. When I hear black conservatives talk, that's all I hear is their ideology coming out. When even, right. I would say even about Democrats, black Democrats, you can hear the ideology.
Correct.
I think once we get past the ideology, and that's where our problem lies. We need
that's
to
correct.
Get past our political ideology.
Well, just like,
that
like I said, if you look at the black conservative organizations, now watch this. See, this is the dilemma. Oh, I'm an American. Well, why do you have black Republican organizations? Just be a Republican. You see what I'm saying? Why are you organizing yourselves along racial lines if you say you're going to do away with racial lines? Why are there black Democratic organizations? What's the purpose of those?
But what's wrong
why not
with
be just
racial?
A Democrat?
But why? What's wrong with racial lines? I don't have a problem with being black. I don't have a problem being African American. I don't have a problem with our cultural differences. I like that we're different.
And so that's why I always tell Jeffrey, what separates the black Republicans from the white Republicans? You say, well, I already know nothing but skin color because it's not agenda. Because if the black conservative Republicans had an agenda, then you would see it. You would know it. You could get on their websites and look at it. So get on there and look at them. They're the same as white Republicans, specifically dealing with their alignment with black people. Because black people right now are in a different situation than white people. So why doesn't their agenda deal with the black community, since they're black Republicans?
That's a good question.
You see?
Well, because from what I'm getting what Jeff would tell you is, maybe Jeff, but what I'm getting from what they would tell you is, because the agenda in totality helps everyone.
Okay, watch this.
And in helping white people, helps black people. I don't know how that helps. I don't know how that works, but it seems like that's how they're looking at it.
Yesterday, South Carolina said, "Man, this ain't right. A man and a woman getting married, working hard, not taking anybody else's resources, as if white Republicans came up with working hard, or as if white people came up with traditional marriage between a man and a woman. These are most of the society believes in that, so that's not Republican. It's not even white. Most blacks believe those things." See, that's
exactly.
Not an agenda. You see what I'm saying? That's not an agenda specific to the community that you live in, which is what politics is supposed to be about, using resources to better your condition. Those are just general statements, working hard. What are you saying? Don't let them work hard or Republicans? See, that's not
an
agenda.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You make me feel crazy.
No, you ain't crazy. No, you ain't crazy. You ain't crazy. I just think, okay, this will be the last thing.
Hello? Oh, that's it? It cut off? Aw.